Welcome to Crippled System, episode 59. This is Jeremy, Valiant 418 on the forums, and I play Rhett and Legion and video games.
God damn it, why'd you interrupt me? this intro is going to be so smooth until you interrupted me. This is Andy, I'm Major Tusk on the forums, and I play Mercenaries, Cricks, and Trolls.
This is Brian, Carnage for You, and I watched all of season 2 of House of Cards today.
I'm so jealous of you right now.
That's what I do. I watch all of the TV. Face
and just steal your knowledge.
So everyone knows Kevin Spacey's kind of a badass. Like, you don't mess with Kevin Spacey.
Are you really going to spoil the show?
So the thing with Kevin Spacey is if you piss him off, he's going to spoiler you into a spoiler. That's all I'm going to say. So really be careful when making Kevin Spacey mad.
Yeah.
My favorite Kevin Spacey movie is the Swimming with Sharks.
Swimming with Sharks is amazing.
Oh my god!
if you haven't seen it, you failed.
My favorite movie that Kevin Spacey is in, not necessarily my favorite Kevin Spacey performance, is Glengarry Glen Ross. That cast is astounding.
Yeah.
The fact that Alec Baldwin was nominated for an Academy Award and he's in that movie for 1 2-minute scene, like he's in that movie literally for like 2 minutes, he was nominated for an Oscar.
Nice.
Coffee's for closers, motherfuckers.
God, that movie's so good.
I've never actually seen that.
We're not shocked.
This is my shocked face.
Well, either way, this is Jeff, also known as Troll Jeff locally. I play trolls, if you couldn't figure that out.
It's not just your appearance that we made anything.
Shut up, I'm going to go back to live under my bridge.
He taunts people online a lot. Yeah. That's where it actually comes from. I am Nathan, Rydia fan on El Forums de Internetos. That's okay. Flawless Castilian.
You guys learning your second languages on your damn iPad.
You think that was actually Spanish?
No, that was pretty much just... That's like the Spanish that happened at the end of... Or the Italian that happened at the end of True Romance.
I learned so much Spanish because of that app, because it's a game on my iPad. So I learn Spanish every day because it's a game. I'm trying to beat my people that are
you're trying to beat Spanish.
Yeah, I'm trying to beat Spanish.
The final boss is amazing.
Yeah.
It's a burrito?
Oh, that would be delicious.
I'm up to learning names of foods.
Ooh.
Burrito?
Well, taco? Yeah. The trick is like, you know, please name this item. It is a tortilla wrapped around spiced meat and vegetables with some cheese.
Is that a number 3 combo?
Well, it's either a burrito, an enchilada, a tostada, a tequila.
My favorite is hamburger because it's hamburguesa. It's super easy to remember.
Hamburguesa.
Is taco?
Oddly, no.
That's the Americanized version. I don't know. I'm just trying. It's a failed joke.
Yes.
This is Katie, Bad Horse on the forums. I play Circle.
Paco.
All right.
Wow. Intro. Done.
Yeah. Intro.
Check.
Flawless.
Announcements.
Announcements.
Next weekend is my birthday party. That's the most important announcement that you'll hear.
March 15th, we have a tournament in Madison. Three-list primer for Adepticon.
Master's primer.
Yeah.
Master's. Three-list must play each list once.
Yep. The only thing that'll be different than the actual Masters is it'll be probably more than 3 rounds would be my guess.
Yeah. Yeah. More likely. 3 to 4.
Yeah.
Depends on how many people show up.
Depends on the
turnout. Considering Chicago put on an event on the exact same day with the exact same rules.
Not the normal crew. March 8th is the Dice Dojo has their team tournament. But the Downers Grove store seems to pick the same dates we have a lot. And we've never been to their store. They're farther south.
Yeah.
They're the farthest store in Chicago. It's the only Chicago store we've not been to yet.
Well, they probably, because we haven't ever been there, they probably don't consider whether they interfere with our events.
There's still some Chicago people who may come to our event over their event anyway. So, I mean, that's
kind of funny.
Might go to that team event. That's interesting.
March 8th. That's at the Dice Dojo. I've been thinking about going to that.
You can either bring a 25-point list and be as a maverick, and you'll find a teammate there, or you can go with 2 people and sign up as a team and do your thing.
Each person brings 25 points. You just don't have to bring a team member is essentially what it boils down to.
They'll find one for you if that's the case.
It's a cool idea. I don't think I'll make it out for that, but it's a cool idea.
Brian, we could take our lists again, and this time I won't help.
if you had those models still, it'd be tempting.
Yeah. We were doing well until we got screwed over.
Why are you going to the March 8th one?
He had some Cater models.
I've got Cater.
Yeah.
It's March 8th, and it's just a week before the Madison event.
Yeah. Well, Sorsha 2's feat and Boundless Charge helps the Malakarn missile with Makeda 2 very much. 2 extra inches and double damage is good.
Yeah, that sounds good.
It's actually comical.
I still would like to take... I want to have Zal and an Earthborn running around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, have a little Kovas hanging around with the Earthborn. He's like, hey, buddy, let's go.
The Kovas just runs into position. Kovas just runs up next to, like, some Titan or, you know, just like, hey, buddy, guess what's coming?
This is going to tickle.
What's that? Power 26 fists, you say? Let's rage that. Make it power 29. It's not good enough yet.
That's fucking stupid. It really would be awesome.
Dice plus 10 against Colossals. It's like, sure, why not?
Oh, man.
Good times.
I want to see that at least once somewhere.
I'll say on March 15th, they're having a Michigan's having the Store Wars thing they do every year.
Son of a bitch.
And they posted that event like a day after you posted your event, and I was like, damn it, that was so cool. So I would have loved to go to the that event in Michigan.
But let's just cancel ours.
Michigan should hold an event the weekend of July 14th, 15th.
You hear that, guys? July 14th, Michigan people.
Michigan should hold more events in Wisconsin.
Yes.
That'd be good.
That'd be really convenient. I'd go to a lot more Michigan events if they were in Madison.
Or closer to Chicago. So we can make the loop around.
If they host an event July 19th, then Jeremy and I would be able to go.
Oh, there you go. Get on that.
Oh, because that one we're in Michigan anyway.
That's when we're in Michigan.
I don't know how much of a Michigan audience we have.
I don't know if we have any.
We don't have much of an audience at all, so it's...
Well, but we have some...
Our popularity had to spike when we had Clockwork Fox on here. You know they're popular.
Probably went down because they were on the podcast and listening.
Yeah, two of our listeners were here.
Went down by 50%.
I accidentally went to clockworkfox.com at work the other day, which is a website, and there's stuff there.
Is it inappropriate stuff?
It's weird.
Is it steampunk and furry together?
Because
holy
right
crap,
now.
Is that too
just awesome?
Two great things that taste great together.
That is not the right word for that.
Yeah, it's just like peanut butter and chocolate.
Is Katie typing it on her iPad?
She is.
The sexual furries have ruined anthropomorphism for the rest of us. That's what I'm saying.
Oh.
It's a...
You're going to that on
our
internet?
That's Facebook.
You're
on
Facebook.
On your internet.
No.
Oh, yeah, that's happening. You went to My Little Porny before, so.
here come the authorities.
And he's getting locked
Although
up.
I'm upset that that site and Clockwork Fox should work together.
Wow.
I don't.
It's.
I'm not. When I typed in Clockwork Fox, I got like.
.com.
Oh, is it just .com?
You have to actually put .com, or, you know, it's.
All one word, Katie. And Clockwork is one word, not. Clock space.
It's actually .gov. They're a sovereign nation now.
.edu.
Oh, right. Somebody's learning something.
It's an online graphic novel that's coming soon.
Yeah.
Is coming spelled correctly?
Spelled with a U.
It is with steampunk foxes, so I'm really concerned.
But that's it. At the moment, that's it. That's on there.
Yeah, but I'm afraid what that graphic novel is going to be.
Really coming soon is like a threat.
You've been warned.
They're going to start and do a Kickstarter. Give us money or we're going to make this.
I like that. That's pretty good.
Wow.
See, this is what we have Jeff on here for.
That should definitely be... we should have a Kickstarter.
A Kickstarter TC.
See how much money we can make for them for us to stop.
I kickstopped the Crippled System podcast.
that makes me think of the... How many people here watched Mr. Show? Anybody?
I have seen Mr. Show.
There was an episode where like a Dr. Evil supervillain held a Jerry's Kid style telethon to raise money for him not to destroy the Earth. Like, instead of just ransoming like the governance of the world, it's like, come on, we got operators standing by, we just need $17 million more dollars or else I'll just blow up the Earth. And it was like apparently an annual thing he did, and they had the variety acts on and everything, just like a normal fundraiser.
Wow.
That's kind of nice.
Yeah.
Get a little entertainment for your money.
Same episode with Mustard Sturdeonaise. You're welcome.
The other episode I remember from there is the one where they had the guy with a giant sandwich board sign that said, I'm with rapist.
Wow. That's terrible.
It is awesome.
That's it for announcements.
That was, in fact, an announcement.
We ended the topic with the word rapist. How wonderful.
I thought you didn't want to make any rapist jokes anymore this year. It
wasn't.
No, I very specifically said I was okay with rapist jokes as long as they were thought out and made sense and weren't just casual dropping of rape as a synonym for beating somebody in a game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Specifically chosen rape jokes are okay. It's casual usage of rape as a synonym for defeating somebody I'm not okay with.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll start a poll and we'll see who all agrees with that.
Now I have to bring up a video game that involves teabagging.
You got COD, right, bro?
Right.
Well,
third topic already. We're doing pretty good here.
We're steaming along. Well, this topic's going to be timely. So not timely, timey, long. Is there a word?
We should probably, as an announcement before we move
Timeful?
On, those of you that are listening, waiting for that brief moment of War Machine that occasionally happens in our podcast, don't.
There's Katie's Corner.
Katie's Corner will briefly touch on War Machine, but other than that, this is a mostly not War Machine podcast
Katie's
today.
Corner is 100% War Machine related.
That is true.
And Zappity Grumble might have War Machine.
Zappity Grumble might, although I've seen our Zappity Grumble
before. For the next 30 minutes, you can ignore. Well, we've had our last four podcasts
have been very War Machine.
We've all had a lot of people at tournaments. This is the first week in a month where none of us have gone to a tournament.
And we've got a topic we wanted to do, so we're going to do it now that we don't have
tournaments. How's that go to a tournament? There's all the cards
So we do what we want, Maury.
We could also talk about like what people did.
I'm just trying to help out those guys that go jump through 15 seconds looking for a
weird stuff. No,
don't bother.
In my opinion, the greatest PC video game of all time is XCOM.
Nathan had to jump out there before someone else stole that one from him.
The original XCOM came out in 1994, was released by MicroProse, followed up by four sequels. Actually, three sequels. One was canceled. XCOM's the greatest game ever made. End. Full stop. Anyone who disagrees is a liar.
So, to go over quickly what we're talking about is we're all going to talk about video games and give our, like, not really our top three, but just give, like, three games that we really, each of us really like.
Favorites. I mean, I think all of us.
Favorites. Three.
It doesn't.
Or something that, like, you have a little story behind.
Three games, that are kind of defining for you, or definitive for you is a better word, not defining. Definitive
it's,
for you.
It's kind of a mass recommendation thing that's all video game
related. So, why is the XCOM the greatest game of all time, Nathan? You have to at least give some backup to that. I don't disagree.
Because there's RoboCop in it. Sorry.
Yeah. Everything about it. No, so the beauty thing about XCOM is that it's very unique because it's a turn-based strategy game, which there were a lot of at the time. There was the grid-based things like Final Fantasy Tactics and the Ogre Tactics games and Vandal Tards. And there's been games like that, you know, but those are, I think like the Final Fantasy Tactics are the ones that a lot of people, it was the biggest audience. So yeah, if I say that, that's the 90% of people are thinking about that. So it had that, and it was great at that. Mm-hmm. It was an amazing game in that regard already. It would have been top of the pack in that genre, but then where it really shines is that's just the away missions. The game has an overworld real-time map where you have to do base management. You have to deal with bureaucracy, which sounds hilariously not fun, but it's interesting to have to worry about funding and worry about juggling paychecks versus getting equipment. Do you have enough ammo? If a ship gets destroyed, being able to pay for a new ship, like all this stuff. Scrambling fighters to deal with the aliens that are flying around.
Makes it deeper.
It's so deep. And something I've, you know, building your own equipment, researching new technology, all of it is insanely deep. But without being like overly micromanagement, like the Masters of Orion series is basically Civilization in Space. And Masters of Orion 3 is awful because it's too deep. It's super micromanaging, and so you just can't play the game. 2 is really good.
Masters of Orion 2
is an amazing
game. I love
that
game. 2 is
fantastic. 3 is super micromanaging, and so it's just unplayably bad. XCOM manages to be deep and having all these fine little details to it that you can handle without it being overwhelmingly fine detail.
Agreed.
Also, something I found out years later is that the AI is actually playing the game. It's not just, like, for the time, this was huge in that it wasn't, like, scripted. It wasn't, like, based on what you did. If you had a way to look at the game, like, from the other side, it's actually building bases, doing research, buying equipment, scrambling fighters. It's doing all of that like another player would behind the scenes. It isn't just scripted, oh, they're at X points, now we do these events, which for 1994 was pretty big deal for a PC
game. It was pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I remember playing that for the PS1. In fact, I think I still own it for the PS1.
I loaned my PS1 copy to somebody. I forget who has it, but yeah.
Yeah, I never played the classic, but the remake is really, really good.
Yeah, the remake is completely awesome.
My dad, we just introduced him to this game today, or tomorrow, or yet tomorrow.
Tomorrow. It was today. It was today.
Today. Yesterday, but he went home and downloaded it, or is in the process of downloading it.
Nice. If his internet worked crappy, he'd have downloaded it by now.
It'll download sometime tonight. It's probably in the process.
He has an older computer, too, because it was noticeably running slowly having Steam start up on boot up, and so he uninstalled Steam. Yeah, so his computer's a little old.
Well, for what he uses it for, though, he's not like a gamer. Like.
No, he's not at all. So that's one of the cool things, especially if you play on some of the easier difficulties. The game's really fun, even for someone that's not a big-time gamer.
Yeah.
On the harder difficulties, it will destroy you and crush your soul.
Yes.
But on the easier difficulties, even a beginning player can enjoy it and play it.
Yeah, it's fun shooting sectoids and everything.
Yeah, exactly.
And then ethereals show up and you're sad.
And then you just get destroyed. Or the sectopods. Oh, my God.
Sectopods.
Holy crap.
Yep.
Well, that's Nathan's first game.
Katie?
Mine is something that's a really, really old game, and it was one of my first introductions into the video game world. It was Altered Beast. Yeah. We had like a Sega Genesis, and and like I don't even know if it's really that good of a game because I can't look at it.
Katie, just stop paying attention because of the half naked men that got bigger when they got well, the
worms. I'm getting from to your that. Like, I'm getting to that. Like I have, because I can't look at it with anything but rose-colored glasses, because I, in general, don't play so much as I watch games, and so I would watch my dad play this game of naked men who turned into, like, furry little wolves and dragons. It was so cool, and so that's one of my favorite games.
Did you play two-player with that?
Yeah.
A lot? Were you the one that took all the orbs?
Yeah, even after you transformed,
when the white wolf would come by, you kill it, and then you just take all the orbs, so your friend didn't get to transform.
Yeah, that happened a lot. I wasn't very good at getting out of the way of them, so I wasn't doing it on purpose. I was just really bad at the game. I'd always end up facing like the wrong way.
There's an awesome video for Glove and Boots, which, side recommendation, everyone should watch Glove and Boots. But there's a video where they're playing the game, and one of them just keeps on getting all the orbs, and the other one's getting angrier and angrier. But it's like puppets playing the game, so no. But anyway, Glove and Boots, watch it. Sorry.
So anyway, that's one of my favorite games from...
That is very cool. It's a good game. I was more of a Gauntlet player, but similar type
Gauntlet
game.
Hates you. Did you play Gauntlet? Like, you're too young. You probably didn't play it originally back in the arcade.
I played it in the arcade. Yeah, oh, yeah. No, in the arcade. It sucked down my quarters.
You're constantly losing. What a bullshit thing to do. Like, whoever made Gauntlet was like, what if they were always losing? So they just had to constantly feed money in no matter how good they were at the game.
Most of the games I played at the arcade were that way.
That's the way arcade games were.
Ninja Turtles? Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Dragon's Lair?
Yes.
Yeah, like, if you were good at Dragon's Lair, you could beat the entire game for a quarter.
If you knew what to do.
Yes.
But to get to that point.
But you could legit. My point is, you could legitimately beat infinite levels of Pac-Man with one quarter. You can beat infinite King Kong with one quarter. You can play those games if you're good enough. It might be impossible to be that good. But Gauntlet, you can play flawlessly. You're just going to lose every 2 minutes if you don't plug in a quarter because you're always dying.
That's a genius play.
Bullshit.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was the same way.
Yeah.
But I loved it anyway. I don't care. all right. Well, I'm going to go with a little bit of a different type of game. I'm going to go with StarCraft/StarCraft II. It's a little bit of a cheat because they're two different games, but they're very similar.
Oh, I'll be cheating.
And one of them's only a third of the way out.
Yeah, well, two-thirds.
Two-thirds now?
Yeah, they've come out with, so anyway, I love the crap out of StarCraft. RTSs in general I really love. I think Blizzard did a fantastic job with their RTSs. I'm sure someone else will recommend one of the other ones. But anyway, StarCraft, I played the ever-loving crap out of. I played all the missions through on the hardest difficulty, loved the crap out of them, played online. StarCraft 1 was big when I was in college, which I know was a long time ago, but we just absolutely crushed the college network playing StarCraft all of the times.
You should give a date range for when you were in college.
In 98 to 2002?
There you go.
Okay. So we played the crap out of StarCraft, and then it kind of fell by the wayside. I mean, I had probably hadn't even thought about StarCraft in 5 years.
Well, you didn't go to Korea.
At least. Yeah, I didn't live in Korea where it was still a popular professional
sport.
It's a national sport. Yeah.
It's a complete national pastime.
Yeah. So anyway, I didn't live in Korea. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I hear about StarCraft 2. This was before it actually came out, but I was a little bit not in the dark.
Probably
about
like a
this
day.
One.
it's on the shelf. You're like, what's this?
No,
speaking of which, they're making a new Star Wars movie.
Yes, I know. Anyway, I played in the closed beta for StarCraft 2. I was a little bit in the know, thank you. But anyway, StarCraft 2, which I had just completely forgotten about StarCraft, and then I got sucked into that game again. The missions are amazing. The cinematography, like, it's not cinematography, but the cutscenes they do for StarCraft are almost flawless for a video game. Like, you just don't see that kind of time and energy put into the story of an RTS. Like, if you just don't.
If Blizzard would ever make a goddamn movie just with their CGI,
yes, it would be
all
amazing.
Their things, it would be one of it the greatest movies of all time. Considering, you know, like what Final Fantasy did with theirs, those looked good, but the story
was atrocious.
And Blizzard does well with storylines.
Their story is fantastic. I agree.
I thought it was cool that they turned out to be alien ghosts. Never seen alien ghosts
I don't know about
before.
Cool. It was a thing that they turned out to be
who
alien
turned
ghosts.
Out to be alien ghosts?
In the Final Fantasy Spirits Within.
Is that Final Fantasy X?
No, it's a movie that Squaresoft made
When your villains are invisible, you have a problem.
Yes, yeah, yeah. They're invisible. They can move through everything, and if they touch you, you die instantly.
Yeah, they were OP. So anyway, StarCraft II, StarCraft I, amazing, flawless, and the multiplayer aspect. You'll hear people complain a lot about StarCraft II is faster, or I can't do the micro fast enough, or whatever. I think StarCraft II is still an amazing game. I think that it's good at 1v1, it's good at 2v2, it's good at 3v3. I haven't played it above that. And I think it's impressive for a game to be good in single player and in all of those modes simultaneously. You don't see that much. So StarCraft II, that's my top.
Awesome.
Top
awesome.
Game.
Mine is going to go, it's going to go over generations of games. My first recommendation for any kind of game is Castlevania.
Oh, wow.
All the Castlevanias, including
not the N64 ones.
You might.
I still played them all the way through.
Were you chained down?
I own all the Castlevanias.
What was Castlevania? I'm not familiar with that one.
Castlevania.
Do you like Dracula?
It's a platformer.
Yeah, you're a dude with a whip fighting Dracula.
It's a side platformer where you're basically playing a vampire killer. Going through all different medieval type bosses and then finally end up killing Dracula.
Yeah, it's usually this horrible collage of classic horror monsters. Yep. Like the first one has a Frankenstein in it. It's got I think the first one
has a mummy and a giant.
There's always some version of death.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The next one is the one coming out soon is what, the Devil versus Dracula?
It's Lords of Shadow 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I actually, even though a lot of people didn't like the first one, I do recommend it.
That one is one of the first of the 3D Castlevanias that works out well. The ones that came out for the PlayStation were not that bad.
You're talking about the PlayStation 2, right?
PlayStation 2 versions, okay. Yes. Yeah. Those weren't that bad, but the ones that I think really shine most out of all the Castlevanias are the ones that came out for the DS and the Game Boy Advance. The ones that are kind of built in the Metroid vania. Yeah.
The side-scrolling 2D ones. The ones that were kicked off by
Symphony of the Night.
Correct, yeah. Correct. And yeah, Symphony of the Night is easily by far the best of all the Castlevanias. It's easily accessible by anybody. I think it's available on every game system.
The only objection I have with it is that it gets super easy after about 40 seconds into it. Like, once you start leveling up and getting good, like, the second half of Symphony of the Night is you can fall asleep and win that game.
Yeah.
Because the bosses don't scale up in difficulty.
No.
But it's still fun as all hell. Don't get me wrong. Yes. I've played that game for hundreds of hours.
Yeah. I beat that on multiple platforms, too. I beat it on the PlayStation 1 and then on the Xbox and then onto the PS4.
Yeah. Well, and that game does something that a lot of modern games, I think, have been losing touch with. It uses its music to support the rest of the game. A lot of modern games just have this kind of generic rock track or like just this like, let's find some wedding band to kind of play an orchestral piece and put that in our game.
Yeah.
Whereas Symphony of the Night actually worked to have a composed music score.
I own the soundtrack. I imported it from Japan.
I remember owning the soundtrack. I had the Final Fantasy 3 soundtrack. It was like 3 CDs. I was so proud of that thing.
Oh, yeah. Excuse me. It's Final Fantasy 6.
No, it was 3. At the time, it was American 3.
Yeah, it was
3.
He had the MIDI file ones, none of the updates with the actual orchestra. Yeah.
And I actually have, and 6 just came out on the iPad. I've been playing through that in my spare time.
Awesome. Final Fantasy 6 is on the iPad? The fuck? And hey, I'm out.
Welcome to Jeremy.
Yeah, that's
but
so.
Pretty much all the Castlevanias. If you can figure out a way, basically any of the kind of the ROMs or anything.
If anybody's not going to recommend them, can we lump the whole Metroid series into there too and just say Metroidvania games?
Yeah.
2D side-scrolling exploration games where you have to level up and backtrack.
The first two Metroid ones that came out for the GameCube were decent
really
too.
Good.
Yeah. The first-person shooter versions of those were really good. Not Operation M or whatever.
Yeah,
it was.
No, that was M from mistake.
Other M. Yeah. Basically, the Castlevania is and Metroid are really the same game. It's just one sci-fi with a laser gun and one's medieval with a whip. Like gameplay-wise, even from 3D versus 2D, they're incredibly similar.
Yeah.
Ever since Castlevania started with the Super Metroid style of the game, where it's an exploration game that you're limited by your equipment to go to new areas.
Yeah.
Ever since it started that, then it's really about the same. But yeah, all Castlevania. Awesome.
All right, I'm going to change the pace of the games a little bit. We're going to have a lot of overlap in the same style, so I'm going to shake things up a little bit. I'm going to say Mortal fucking Kombat.
Ooh! Well done, sir.
As a game. Mostly Mortal Kombat 2. If I had to pick one, instead of saying every Mortal Kombat, but Mortal Kombat 2... and won. I mean, those are the games I played so many fucking hours in. That's back in the day when you were still in the arcade. You put your quarter in there, you kick a guy, and you'd play till someone could come kick your butt. And then you'd
put your quarter on the screen, like down in the corner on the cabinet, as sign that you got next.
Yeah,
yeah.
I played so much of that on the and then when that came out, when that thing came out for the systems, played so many fucking hours.
I was the first person to actually beat Brian in the game after he went on to like a 150 game winning streak.
Kato.
Kato, yeah.
Yeah.
Good old Cyborg and then Baka. Or
Baraka. Yeah, I played the shit out of Baraka.
Yeah, those were my main two.
Who was the yellow Cyborg? Cyrax. Yeah. Shot the net out of his chest and dropped the grenades. He wasn't the best. I just played him a lot, yeah. Yeah, two was Baraka. I played Baraka in two and that guy in three.
Yeah, no, I love Mortal Kombat. That was a fun game. When that came out, because that was like the first big... Because it was all Street Fighter this, Street Fighter that, and Mortal Kombat came out. I was like, holy crap. I mean, Mortal Kombat towards the end got a little crazy with the balladies and things.
Well,
but
they reined it back in the one that was just titled Mortal Kombat the last
years. But no, it's fun. They're fun. They're really fun.
I haven't played it in a long time. I played it...
There's a lot of them you can just plain skip.
Yeah.
Please, I've heard that new Injustice game is an amazing fighting game. I've been so tempted.
Well, if you like Mortal Kombat, you're going to like that one.
I know. That's why at some point I'm going to buy it for the PS3. Just pick up a cheap copy of Injustice because it's very Mortal Kombat-ish. But no, Mortal Kombat's great. So that's my recommendation.
Okay. Well, I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to lump a group of games that are basically the same thing and put them into one. Used to be called Heroes Quest, not to be confused with the equally awesome board game, but the Quest for Glory series.
Yes! Oh my god.
Yeah.
Yes.
Those things were freaking fantastic. These were a combination of Sierra's point-and-click adventures combined with RPG elements. It was the first thing that really matched it. And it had Sierra's really good sense of humor, too. Mm-hmm. So you could start off as like a fighter or a rogue or a magic user, and you weren't even limited in that class. You could mostly pick up the gear or traits of the other skills as long as you practiced them to improve them, like Skyrim or Elder Scrolls style.
Yeah.
And on top of all that, you could transport your character from game to game so you could keep your basic progress and some of your plot to go with you. So there was a series of just four really fun games that would just died horribly when Sierra was going downhill on the fourth one, which is super buggy. But I still love 1 through 3, and I really wanted to like 4. I just couldn't play it because it would fall apart every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But I loved that franchise as a kid, and I really wish someone would bring that back.
Yes, I wholeheartedly agree.
But yeah, that's why I'm recommending old PC games from the 90s.
I'm okay with it. That is a good decision right there.
I remember my friend, because I used to play. I mean, my friend in the early 90s, he had a PC and he was playing like an old Might and Magic. I'm like, that is the greatest thing in the world. But that back when you had to have like floppy drives,
Heroes of Might and Magic,
the
5.5 inch or no, the
well, just
it was 3.5,
just,
three
just,
and
just
half,
to
yeah.
play, just to play a game on a computer, Windows 95. You just didn't hit start and play. You had boot discs, and you had to go and special. I mean, it was a lot of time and effort just to like play a game,
and it was worth it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it was.
Those of us that lived through there, we know what it was.
Yeah. Like. You have no idea how ridiculous it was to play a game. Oh,
15 discs, and they would want you to switch them every.
DOS, starting your games in DOS.
Yeah.
You know the special code to play the game, not to get the extra lives, just to start it.
And the manual, the user manuals, where they'd have like the super esoteric security, so you'll never lose the manual of that game, and you just are never ever guessing that game again ever.
It's a recommendation I've done before. Darklands. I have the printout of the symbols from the manual
because I just have to have that.
Or the Leisure Suit Larry games, their security thing was questions that you should only know the answer of if you were over 18. That's how they stopped kids from playing it.
But yeah, some of those games too. Like if you couldn't figure out how to make a boot disc for that game, you just couldn't play. You bought a game. Well, there wasn't. I mean, the internet really wasn't there in the really early 90s. So you're like, I guess I just don't play this game. I just bought.
Yeah, I remember playing Arena, the Elder Scrolls 1.
Oh, geez.
With I didn't even play that one. Arena, yeah. With had to get a boot disc for that thing.
Yeah,
that's a long time ago.
This well, the games are good. The whole process to play the game.
Well, right, I know, but like the games, like I'm just thinking back, and oh man, mind blown over here.
All right, I guess it's on to me now.
Game number two-ish.
Well, oh man, him mentioning the Quest for Glory, like I just want to recommend an entire genre now that wasn't on my list. Oh, fuck it, I'm going to go with that genre. So, I'm recommending an entire genre.
Oh, and I know what it is. I'm going to be pissed because it's what I was about to do.
I don't think it is. I don't think. Well, we'll see. Point and click adventure games, specifically all the LucasArts games of the '90s, whether they be the Sam and Max, the fucking full throttle with cavefish. I had a buddy who was hardcore. He wanted to start cavefishism as an actual religion. But full throttle, Sam and Max. You got your Maniac Mansion games.
Monkey Island.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. These point and click adventure games, which there's some inventory management kind of puzzle games like that still are around. It's just not as popular. For a while, they reigned supreme. Oh my god, how the fucking I'll specific here. This will be the best one that I'll push. Grim Fandango is my favorite of those games. Problem is you like I own it still on CD. You literally can't play it anymore. It won't run on modern PCs, so I'll have to see about download. But it's
like LucasArts, like Hugo's House of Horrors, is like the same style.
Grim Fandango is art style. It is Dia de los Muertos, like the Spanish skulls and everything like that. Because the plot of Grim Fandango is you are Manny Calavera. You are a travel agent, which death is a whole bunch of guys. It's basically everybody gets to heaven eventually. Sure. It's just this whole other world that's like Earth, but it's where all the dead people are. And eventually you get through to heaven, but depending on how good of a person you were, you get there faster. Like if you were super nice, you get on this awesome locomotive, this beautiful, like the Orient Express gets you right there. Manny's first client is a jerk, so he gets just a walking stick with a crappy compass in it that doesn't work very well. One of his clients, he literally just puts in a crate and puts packaging foam in there and just ships him to heaven via freight. Nice. But it's just it's film noir-esque. It's very Maltese Falcon style with the suits and the femme fatale and everything like that. The puzzles are great. The humor is great. Manny is a great character. The music is amazing. So like any of those old LucasArts point-and-click adventure games or any – doesn't have to be LucasArts. Just that whole genre, which is dying, the Monkey Islands are good. But specifically, I'll go with Grim Fandango.
Yeah, Monkey Island's the only one to even remotely hit markets again in the past, what? 10 years.
Monkey's Island has my favorite running gag of all of them, though, which is that's the second blankest blank I've ever seen, which is in a lot of games they'd have like a 500-foot-tall statue of a squirrel, and Guybrush would be like, "Wow, that's the second biggest squirrel I've ever seen." You know, it's always just something absurdly over the top, and it'd be the second blankest blank he'd ever seen, and they never explain where he saw a bigger squirrel.
Nice.
As I'm listening to you guys, I realize that I have not heard of a lot of these things.
You can steal some of mine if
No, I've never heard of any of those.
Here. You can just try to guess what they are by the name.
No, I mean, like, I have my own. I don't need to steal any. I'm just saying. But as I was sitting here listening to it, I remembered a game that I played, and I couldn't remember what it was, and my dad, we didn't own it. My dad made us run it, and then he wouldn't let me run it anymore, but it was Crystal's Ponytail on Genesis.
You were
a pony. But that's not my... That's not the one.
That's not your recommendation. That's just a cheat. You're just throwing it in there.
No, my second one is Warcraft 2. It was the first computer game that we had, and it was the first one that I played by myself, and I'd like design worlds for and games for, and give myself like a shit ton of griffins, and it was, and so that one was fun. I really really enjoyed that one. And then when I heard that they're coming out with World of Warcraft, I thought it was just like Warcraft 4, and so I was really, really excited, and then I found out what it was, and I was really sad.
So were the rest of us. That was cool. All right, so...
I want to know more about Crystal's Ponytail.
Yeah, are you going to like tell us anything about it?
Or I vaguely remember playing it, and then my dad told me I wasn't allowed to rent it anymore because I had rented it so much. I don't know why he didn't just buy it for me.
I don't know.
But maybe they didn't sell it anymore.
It was actually a typo. It was Crystal's Brony Tail.
Yeah, right?
No, this was before bronies.
Better me. There was a PS1 game when I was like in junior high school that I rented like 20 times in a row. Just every time it ran out, I would just rent it again. Yeah. And so I could have bought that game twice over. Yeah. Instead, I just kept renting it.
Well, the thing...
I was addicted. Just felt like five more bucks, right? Five more bucks. And I just kept renting it.
Well, and the thing is, like, I think that one of the reasons that it kind of... Like, I kind of vaguely remember it was, like, one of the only games that was for girls back then. Like, now you have lots of games for girls. That's true. That are, like, girl-specific.
Like Bayonetta.
What?
Yeah, that's definitely for ladies.
It's feminist. Like, the main character is a strong woman.
She's strong, all right.
Anywho.
All right, so I'm going to go with an older game again. I know we've kind of got a trend of that going, but probably... The most flawless RPG I've ever played, and I know you guys are going to poo-poo that when you hear which game it is, Tales of Symphonia.
No, I'll agree with that.
I bought an N64 just to play that game.
You know
they got
an HD remake coming out at the end of the month. Combined with the substantially not as good sequel.
Yeah, that's the thing. The sequel wasn't any good. I played it because Tales of Symphonia was one of the most glorious games I've ever played, didn't even finish it. I was like, no, this is trash. I'm done.
And I managed to beat it.
I couldn't bring myself to keep playing. But Tales of Symphonia, it was like an artist that has one great song. Like mm-hmm. it was, and it's just that great. Like it's just amazing. It's the fight
like
elements.
Mbop.
Yes, like Mba, exactly like Mba.
What's the theme?
That wouldn't make so it's great either.
So it's an RPG. You're a group. There's a group of students in a school, and all hell breaks loose on Earth. And now what? And you start out with, I think it's two of the students you start out with in your RPG group, and then you were like, go here and find other people to join you and help you out. And the idea is to save the world. Only it's like got all sorts of twists, and it
yeah, like it's
amazing.
The primary element is one of the people in the classroom is going to become this basically being that will save the world, and you're traveling to different temples to awaken this power in her.
Right, and then things happen when you do awaken that power.
Yeah, the biggest spoiler of that whole game is that it's two discs long.
It is 2 discs long. You get to the end of that first disc, and it feels like the end, like it's got enough. It's had enough story and enough game time that it should be the end of an RPG game. And then there's a whole nother freaking disc, and it's just mind blown.
So, side recommendation: if you've got a PS3, just buy the digital remake so you can avoid that spoiler.
Yeah,
that's
right.
That's very tempting,
but it's. The most flawless RPG I've ever played.
I'll disagree with that statement.
No, like it is. Like, in my opinion, it is. It's just that amazing.
How many times have you played Chrono Trigger?
Once.
Well, there's the first mistake, because that's not a game you play once.
And the thing is, like, there's other great... Like, I love the Final Fantasy. I love all... Like, there's lots of other RPGs I really, really like. Tales of Symphonia, like, I just think it's flawless. I enjoy the fight system on it. Like, when you play with multiple people, one person moves you around the world, and then when you start a fight, the other people are controlling other things in your party, or not. If they don't want to, it's just you can just be controlling one person, or up to four. Like, you don't see RPGs where four players can play together either, which was also well executed. There's a little bit of an issue that the screen isn't quite large enough to see where all four people went.
The more modern Tales games fix that particular issue.
Well, that's
They're not written and scripted as well as Symphonia, but more modern Tales titles are better for that.
So if you have an N64, go to like your pre-played and buy a copy. And if you don't, apparently it's coming out on PS3, and I'll be buying that. So it's amazing.
There goes my money.
it's only $50 instead of $60. Ooh. Think of the savings.
Yeah. It's an amazing game. If you've never played it, do yourself a favor. Go buy
video
it.
Games are getting cheaper and cheaper as time goes on because of inflation.
That's true, because they like, stay around.
They stay at 50, 60 bucks. Like,
well, that's due for a change soon, though, because there's not a big margin on any game sales.
No,
right. Your average $60 game that someone sells you over the counter, the store that sells it's making maybe $5 or $6, and the game designers are maybe making 10 on it.
Yeah, but then they got all the microtransactions and DLC.
Not in the ones you're buying over the counter, usually.
So is your face.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway. Nobody buys that over the counter. That's
So how does the store make any money?
Usually it's through volume. It's also why GameStop's been so successful, because the used games have a much larger margin for the store.
Right.
And, I mean, that's not a secret to anybody. You can trade in any game, figure out how much you get. You're like, well, they're selling it for this much. Here's their theoretical profit if they sell it the next day.
Yeah,
you
know? And it's pretty high.
Yeah.
So anyway, Tales of Symphonia, that's my second recommendation. It's amazing.
Cool. Andy?
That's not my recommendation. I don't like sneezing. But my second one that I want to play, that I still play all the damn time, it's a classic NES title. It's called Bionic Commando. The game is goddamn amazing. It is probably one of the more difficult NES titles out there, especially in the later missions. When
you have a goddamn jump button.
Yeah, there's no jump button.
Hook.
Yeah, but it's not a jump button. It's
no Ninja Gaiden.
But anyway, so
there's a guy that hates me.
Oh my god, a bird! Yeah. No,
well, the bird is a
sparrow's the enemy to ninja everywhere.
Sparrows and birds are actually probably the biggest enemies ever in most video games.
Castlevania too.
Yeah, Castlevania. You're like, oh fuck, there's a bird.
Well, no,
I'm on a platform.
Medusa heads more often than not.
I just killed death itself, but there's a bird coming my way. Someone help me.
Yeah, but Bionic Commando, really awesome game. It's technically a sequel to Commando.
Yes.
From back then. I would also recommend the remakes. Both Bionic Commando Rearmed and Rearmed 2. Rearmed 2 doesn't introduce a jump button, but it doesn't really change the element of the game.
It's optional.
Even that multiplayer Bionic Commando, the 3D one.
What?
It was a multiplayer. The PlayStation 2 Bionic Commando?
No, there's one that came out.
There's one for PlayStation 2.
PS3 one.
Yeah,
that's so terrible you don't want to worry about it.
Yeah.
The 3D one, the
PS2 one, and I thought it was okay as long as you could deal with the fact that it was a old school NES game disguised as a 3D game.
No. That 3D one was actually not a PS2. That was a
PS3.
That was a
PS3. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. There was no Bionic Commandos out for the PS2.
I meant PS3. My numbers got backwards.
Backwards numbers.
But some of the Game Boy ones were halfway decent. But I really recommend the Rearm series. And if you can get your whole hands on the original one, it's great. It's worth it.
You get to shoot Hitler in the face with a rocket launcher. Yeah.
Yes, you do.
Not a lot of games where you get
spoiler,
to do that.
Come on. Jeez.
Oh, sorry.
Interesting fact, though, is the first NES version of the game, in the U.S., it was not allowed to show any swastikas. So if you actually are interested in ROMs in that, if you get the Japanese version, there are Nazi symbols everywhere.
Well, because the bad guys were, like, the whole thing was the Nazis were trying to bring Hitler back, and yeah. And so, yeah, and the American one is just, like, the Imperials or whatever. And then at the end, you, like, shoot the big boss or whatever.
Yeah, the guy.
And they don't bother to change him. It's still Hitler. Like, it's literally just this close-up of Hitler with the mustache and the comb over and everything. They just don't call him Hitler. And it's like, you're not fooling me, censors.
It's Bitler.
Yeah. Mr. Hilter.
But, yeah, the Rearm series, I think you could still get on both of the game platforms. Rearm 2 is actually really, really good, too. Get Bionic Commando. Just don't get the 3D version. Get the soundtrack, though, because the soundtrack is amazing.
The 3D one for the PS3 wasn't that terrible, I don't think. But I'm in the minority there, and I'll admit that. I'll admit that I'm in the minority.
It was fine when I was playing it, but it was not the same.
Yeah, that is definitely true. It's definitely like, the weakest Bionic Commando game.
Yes.
Brian?
Resident Evil.
No.
Are you going to clarify that?
Nope.
I disagree, sir.
The Resident Evil games, I don't know. I've played every single game, not counting these. The one
Brian can only count to four, just so you know.
No, there's Resident Evil 1, 2, 3, Code Veronica, 0.
Those are numbers.
5 is fine. I actually will say I have not played 6 because I heard how bad 6 was. Someday I will rent it for like $1 and play it, but... I mean, the older Resident Evils are. I mean, up through five, I still like four and five are four.
No,
four is amazing.
Is fine. Four is great. But
there's nothing wrong with five. Six is where it falls apart. Five, it's got some cracks.
And yeah, five is where you start seeing the fraying on the edges.
I
played it with a friend. We played it. I mean, some people. I guess the game, if you because it's forced co-op. So if you're dealing with the computer as your ally, it's probably more annoying. But I played with someone. In the same house as we played through it, so that was a lot of fun having a person being a live person. I can see if your experience was with just a random computer partner who's kind of a dumbass being a lot less. Yeah, fun.
That's all I've heard is that the computer partner.
Yeah,
in five
I've only
is
played
an
it
idiot.
With people.
Two had one of my favorite mechanics, which was that there was there were two characters, and you played through the game as there's a guy and a girl, and if you played through the game as the guy, then the second half your new game plus, which is something that games have a lot where you get to play through a second time. The new game plus as the guy was to play as the girl during the time you were playing through the first time.
Yep.
So like all the cutscenes where the girl comes in like, oh my god, I just fought this giant snake monster. Well, now your second time through, you as the girl get to fight the giant snake monster. So it's kind of interesting to
there's
see the other side.
There's a few specific things in the game where if you loot an item, it won't be there.
That's
for your
exactly
person.
What
so you have to make a choice. Now it's not a lot of places, but there's a few places where it's like.
But the first time through, you don't know that. Yeah. So you go there, you open this cabinet, it's like the death machine gun from hell that murders everything. You're like, well, I'll take that then. And you take that, and then as you're playing through the second time, the chick's like, oh my god, I'm almost out of ammo, I'm gonna die, there's all these enemies. You open this cabinet, and it's just empty. You're just like, oh, I sure wish this machine gun was there.
So, like, there's a part silhouette of the machine gun.
There's another great part where, like, you're in this lab, and there's a button. You push the button, and it's like, nothing seems to happen. And then in the other game, you're like, you're going wrong, and all of a sudden just, like, acid starts spraying from the walls. Because some asshole hit a button.
Yeah, no, I've played, I don't replay games that often, but I have replayed almost every Resident Evil game that I've played. Even when they remade them in HD, and I got the 0 and the 1, redid all those, I played 2 multiple times. I've only played 3 maybe twice, and 4 I played at least 5 times, and Code Veronica I played a couple times.
I watched somebody play through Resident Evil 1 recently, and I learned something, which was that the dogs in the first one, if you walk, as opposed to just holding the stick all the way so that you run, they don't chase you. If you're walking, those dogs are completely passive. They only have a chase instinct programmed into them. That blew my fucking mind. There's a cat on our table now.
And it's the one thing. It's the one game where when I played Resident Evil, it's the first game where I played it. Almost every game of those I played, I always had an audience with me. It was just weird to play through a game with like a group of people just watching the game.
Well, a lot of those earlier games, I knew a lot of people who were actually too intimidated to play the game themselves.
Yeah. I had a girlfriend when the first one came out who made me play it for her.
Yeah, and they loved the games, but they'd like look away at the scary bits, or they just couldn't handle the controls and they were that scared, so they'd make you do it.
Yeah. No, each of those Resident Evil games had a very similar game, not to cheap.
Are they that scary? Like, that surprised me.
For the time frame they are. They don't age as well, but they use a lot of tricks that make it very scary for the person playing it. Okay. Like, Resident Evil 1 had a lot of deliberately awkward camera angles.
Yeah. And coupled ambient music.
Yeah, and ambient music coupled with some genuinely awful controls.
Yeah, so like you literally couldn't see around this corner because the camera angle wasn't there. It's not like you could rotate it. And then, of course, when you walked forward enough, the camera would snap into the other angle and there'd be a zombie 2 inches away from you. And it took a month to turn to the left to shoot, so you were just, you know, fucked.
Right, yeah, because it was up went moved you forward, left and right turned you left and right. So you couldn't, like, turn around, per se. You had to stop in place rotate. And slowly rotate.
Yeah.
Or walk in a long circle. to turn around.
Yeah, the game's definitely improved quality-wise. Yeah, that's why with people, it's hard to go back and play the old Resident Evil games now.
Although the first one still does have the best acting of the series. You can't top it.
Yeah, it's a joke.
It's better than RoboCop.
That is true. And I will say, because ever since I started playing Dead Space, which I was trying to debate between Dead Space and Resident Evil. There wouldn't be a Dead Space without Resident Evil, in my opinion. It's Resident Evil in space. But in that game, you can move and shoot with Resident Evil as you can ever move and shoot.
Yeah, well, like I said, that was a game choice at that point in time. It caused more terror because you didn't have good control.
Yeah.
A zombie 5 feet away in a game with good controls is just dead. You shoot it in the head and you're over. In Resident Evil, you panic and back up into the zombie behind you.
Or the giant spider that came out of nowhere.
Right.
When that first hunter shows up, and like there's the FMV from its point of view going to the door that you just went through, and then the door opens, and that thing just fucking comes at you, man. You shit your pants.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't like what's happening.
Yeah.
I still have that for my GameCube out there.
Yeah, no, the remake version.
I still have it for the PS1. I still have the original one.
Yeah, I think they provided that free on PlayStation Plus for a while, too. So
there's a few of them on Plus free.
Yeah.
Your second one, Jeff.
Well, I'm going to go with one that it probably isn't as good as other people think it is. Flip that. I think it's better than most people think it is. Dragon Age Origins.
You bitch. That was Katie's third one.
Oh, yeah.
Well, but I'll laugh because that's amazing.
Then I'm validating the fact that somebody else likes that game too.
That's a good one. I also think it's a good game.
Wait, leave it to Katie. You can recommend this instead.
Oh, okay.
You're not talking about the sequel. You're talking about the original.
I'm talking about the
first one. Yeah.
I enjoyed them both, but I distinctly like the first one much more than the second.
It was a lot better than the second one. The second one was disappointing in comparison.
Yeah, so, like, well, since it's already been brought up, what I really enjoyed about the game is just the depth of the character interactions, the fact that it's one of those games where they give you choices, and it's not like the choices are obviously good and evil. It's not like murder a box of puppies or, like, go eat a sandwich. It really is this kind of gray area where, like, well, murdering the box of puppies will feed the village puppy meat, but otherwise they starve to death. Yeah. So, like,
That was the first RPG game that I had ever played / watched. It was the first game that Jeremy and I played together.
And it is really, really strong.
Yeah, I liked it. Once again, it's another game that the soundtrack actually supports it fairly well. There's the combat. Yes, it's slow and clunky, but I've been playing games long enough where it doesn't even faze me. It's just old school to me.
Yep.
I've probably played that game through start to finish about 5 times, and I'm still finding new pieces of dialogue.
Well, and the dialogue between all the characters when you bring them out with you is just hysterical.
Morgan and Alistair are two of my favorite game characters of all time.
Having the two of them in your party together, you're always pissing one of them off. And like, with actual repercussions, you're always pissing one of them off. Because you can't possibly make a decision that Morgan agrees with that Alistair doesn't abhor with his entire being and vice versa.
Yeah.
Is it as good as Minsk?
Minsk?
Minsk.
I am unfamiliar with Minsk.
It's a city in Russia.
No, it's a character. Yes, it's a character from Baldur's Gate. It's Minsk.
Oh, Minsk with his mouth.
Aim for the eyes, boo!
With a hamster.
The hamster, sorry. Yes. Yeah. Their dialogue is legitimately as good as Minsk.
Oh,
and Minsk's dialogue was amazing.
Yes.
Oh, Baldur's Gate 2. Oh, my gosh.
But yeah, I really like Dragon Age Origins. The sequel is still playable, but if you like traditional style stuff, one is way better.
Which was the game you talked about before? Like your sidekick would go and quest for other people and like bring back information about like
that's the one Brian and I were playing together.
Dragon's Dogma.
Dragon's Dogma.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I tried getting to that one. It didn't click with me. I understand why people like it.
I didn't like it for the first 3 hours, and I suddenly loved it. I had to play three to four hours.
I probably played it for two.
Yeah. Yes. That game is one of those ones where it takes about 3 hours to even like mentally understand the system.
I had too many friends who liked it, so I kept playing it, trying to think, well, why don't I like it? Oh, wait a minute.
And then all of a sudden, bam.
It's not a very pretty game either. Like, the people look goofy and...
Well, it's one of those games that suffers from browner is better as far as graphics is concerned. They just coat the entire game with brown muck so you can't see a lot
of detail. It's a very old-school style game for a modern game,
though. It is old-school style. And I would say that while I think Dragon's Age... in general is a better game for most people. Dragon's Dogma, if you make it into the game proper and you don't care about the fact that the graphics aren't as good,
they're pretty good graphics.
It's probably a better game.
The first time I was walking, I had a torch. I walked under a waterfall.
And it goes out.
My torch went out, and then I had the soaked effect, and I was moving slower. I'm like, that makes sense.
Yeah. And you can't light a new torch while you're
flying. Yeah, I know. I'm like, wait a minute, this game is...
And then you don't know what any of the gear does and combines into. It's just like, you can take any one thing in your inventory and another thing in your inventory and put them together and see what you get. And if you put together, like, wool and something that absorbs, I forget what it was, something absorbs.
It was like cloth and
stuff. Yeah, like wool and cloth, you get a towel, which, guess what, cures the soaked effect. Like, once you get understand that system, it's really, really cool.
And then you can't be out in the woods at night.
No.
When it turns night, you just stay still and pray. Like, oh my God, I'm outside, it's nighttime, don't move, no one will see me. Please, God, no.
I remember, and this is a little segue off of Jeff's game, but I remember one time we were way out in the boondocks and night fell, and I was like, well, fuck. Because I'd seen this city on the map, and so I went to the city, and it turned out to be an abandoned city, so it was no help to me.
That's a good place to be at night.
Yeah.
Well, and then there were bandits.
And then there were bandits in the abandoned city, so I had to run from the bandits as dark fell, and then I remember standing, holding a torch with my back to a rock, literally for like 35 minutes of game time, of real time, while I waited for night to pass, with wolves attacking me every 5 to 6 minutes, beating them off, and if my torch went out, going, oh my God, now what do I do?
I ran through the game once, I looked down, and suddenly I saw a shadow fly over me. I looked up, and there was a dragon. I'm like, holy shit, it was flying around me. When I saw the shadow go past me, I almost shit myself, because it was the most terrifying thing in the world. I'm like, oh, I guess there's a dragon here. I need to find the run button.
Where's the don't be here button? But yeah, so anyway. But yeah, Dragon's Age, also an amazing game.
Yeah, absolutely love it. Can't wait for the third one to come out.
You think it's going to be good? I have my hopes up.
At this point in time, I don't care. I'm still going to buy it.
It's
either going to crush my dreams or redeem itself.
I have a buyer who can go fuck themselves and burn it in hell before I give them another dollar.
Because I was so excited about Dragon Age 2, and then it was just not...
Such a disappointment.
Compared to the first one.
They actionized it and cut out the story elements, which... Yes. They added an element I didn't care about and took away the one I did.
Exactly.
So. Well, and there weren't as many... I felt like there were fewer choices, too. Like,
there definitely were.
Yeah.
There absolutely were fewer choices.
Much more scripted.
And so it was good.
Maybe it'll be good.
Yeah, BioWare is at least decent at learning from their mistakes. Like, you watch the Mass Effect progression. The first one was super old school style. English is hard! Old school style RPG mixed with a little bit of shooter. And the second one said, let's just throw out the RPG stuff and make it kind of a shooter that you can customize.
And the third one said, let me put this dildo in your ass and fuck you all day. Don't even go there! I will shove it right through you.
Brian,
the most atrocious game in the history of
man.
RoboCop is a masterpiece compared
Brian
to
got you know touched in a bad
that
place.
Game had wonderful, wonderful sex with you. You're upset it came in your eye.
Hey,
that's pretty much the problem you have.
That game, I hate the game because it couldn't tell a story.
It was
RoboCop.
The ending. I thought it was just the ending.
The last 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's
like,
my thing. I'm
the last
yeah,
10 minutes. That 10 minutes ruins the entire series. It's like the last. I like No Country for Old Men, except for the last 15 minutes, which ruins the entire series.
So what you're saying is you had sex with a beautiful woman, and then after she left your apartment, you found out she was a man.
No, what it was a beautiful woman came into the bedroom with him, said lie down, made him blindfold himself,
started doing sex
for a while, and then he took the blindfold off, and it was John Goodman.
And he cut off my dick.
and he
was beating me with it. And then he made me want to play Mass Effect 3. It was atrocious. I'm like, please no, give me RoboCop, anything but this.
Brian got touched in an unpleasant place by the Mass Effect
That's apparently
finale.
The case. I will agree to disagree, but yeah, I'm willing to give BioWare a shot with Dragon Age 3.
That's what happens when you meet a stranger in the Alps.
their ending to the Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic was an insult. It was an unfinished ending. Their second strike was the second Dragon Age game, and their third strike was the end of Mass Effect. I mean, it's like done.
BioWare's dead to you.
There's enough good games out there that I can skip one company and still have games. I can still have too many games
to play. I have to admit, I have trepidations about buying Dragon's Age 3, but the first one was such a home run that I'll probably buy it
anyway. Or what you could do is maybe, let it come out and give it a week and watch some reviews.
Well, I mean, that's the thing is, I probably will do it. I'm not going to, pre-order it. I'm not going to go that hardcore, but I am likely to buy it.
There's so much pre-order games nowadays. Pre-order this game, get this free shiny object. Game companies just sell so much off the pre-orders.
I know.
They don't even care if the game is good anymore. They sell all their money because I got a free colorful butt with this game.
Brian, remind me again how many giant, ridiculous pre-orders you've purchased. Let's just go within the last year.
I've slowed down quite a bit. The only game I pre-ordered in the last 8 months was Rome.
Yeah, Total War Rome. Which you bought twice.
You did Alien. You did Alien. Cool and Yuri.
Well, I did not pay for. I pre-ordered it and then I waited for the reason I canceled the pre-order. But I don't even pre-order games anymore. If a game, pre-order games, I'm not going to do it anymore. Just like I'm not going to sit and have a trailer. If the game is going to be good, I want the game to be good.
Pre-order some games that are like, hey, pre-order it 24 hours ahead of time on Steam. When you've already seen reviews about it and know you're going to buy it.
Steam you can do the last second. The reviews are out and you can still get
there's
the stuff.
There's a terrible cycle involved with that because the problem is because the margins are so low, if they don't sell the stuff right away, they don't make any money. Yep. And the problem is if something's genuinely good and then everybody waits for it to go on sale or for the reviews and they don't make their money, they don't have incentive to make those games. There's a double edge to that.
And then you buy the game at Best Buy, get a shiny sword, buy it at GameStop, you get a Battle Axe, buy it at Shopko, nothing.
Don't buy Shopko.
There's Shopkos?
Yeah. There's two.
Probably.
So my third game.
I hate Mass Effect so much.
I was just watching Jeff and watching Brian's face. I was like, this is going to be glorious.
I know what if I just punched Jeff in the face, it would be awkward.
That's his new game, punch Jeff in the face.
Oh, I don't recommend that game at all.
So I have three games here that I had out circled because I wanted to recommend all three of them, and I only get one more, so I'm not going to recommend any of them. Brian said Dead Space, and that made me think of a different game that ends with space. So a lot of people played the Wing Commander games, which are awesome.
Which are
That's
amazing.
A good sound effect to make, because Wing Commander games are great. The Wing Commander games,
I miss space games.
Are not the best space game ever. The best space simulator combat game is Descent Free Space. Descent, the Wing Commander's amazing games, X-Wing TIE Fighter, amazing games. Descent Free Space is a fucking masterpiece, and there's still a very alive fan mod community still making missions and updates and patches and stuff. There's a whole community based on this game, but Descent Free Space is great.
It's still third person, right?
It's third person, flight, just like any of those other ones. It's pilot. It's first person cockpit. It has one of my favorite things to happen. So the game starts and it's humans versus these other aliens, a la Wing Commander. You've been fighting for centuries, blah, blah, blah. And then a dozen or so missions in the game, this third race shows up and just annihilates the shit out of both of you. And so, hasty alliance plot, whatever. And so you're fighting against this new race. This new race has cloaking, so you can't see them on your radar. And most importantly, something a lot of games have that Free Space didn't have until halfway through it, is they have shields. And so none of your weapons hurt them. So you have many, many missions, including goddamn escort missions where you have to protect capital freighter ships where you cannot hurt the enemies. And that is a ball-busting fucking thing. But the plot's great. The controls are great. It's got, the tech tree. Like I said, there's still fan community where people are making new missions and everything like that. Descent Free Space, I think...
Is better than this game.
Privateer is amazing. The whole Wing Commander series is amazing. But if I was going to buy one single space combat game... it wouldn't be XCOM's, that was that good. Descent Free Space is amazing.
I forget now, towards the end of for some reason those games got so popular, then they kind of died out, but towards the end, there was games where, you'd play your little fighter, you'd go kill some guys, but then eventually it came out where you were still in your little ship, but then you'd have to be, there'd be capital ships fighting capital ships each other. And you're flying, you literally have to, if you're in between two capital ships, you're just dying because they're...
The crossfire.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if that was Free Space, but that was a game around the same time as Free Space.
I know TIE Fighter had that. X-Wing.
The Free Space one.
Free Space had stuff like that.
TIE Fighter is just, if I remember correctly, that is just a video that you're kind of flying your ship in that video. It's not a, an actual 3D environment.
Which game?
For the TIE Fighter.
Yeah, no, it is. It's just like X-Wing, except you're fighting for the Imperials. It's the same exact game as X-Wing. You're just fighting for the Imperials.
Maybe I'm thinking one of the original versions. I think it's TIE Commander or something like that.
Maybe you're thinking the one where you can just like all you can pick is Duke left, Duke right.
Like, yeah, it was like fighting in a video instead of actually.
And I don't remember what it's called, but I know the one you're talking about.
Okay,
good pick.
Different than TIE Fighter.
Yeah, because nobody was mentioning Space Sim, so I figured I'd throw that out there.
If you made a Space Sim game, I would have played, it was good, I'd have played all the time.
So now one of you guys has to mention Lost Vikings, Super Meat Boy, and the Civilization games.
Good sneak in there.
Fucker.
You can recommend it. I didn't technically recommend Lost Vikings, Super Meat Boy, or Civilization.
I want to recommend like 30 games still.
Well, I just know that Super Meat Boy is across the table from me. Civilization's to my left, and Lost Vikings is to my right. So, you know, they can still get made.
I also loved Lost Vikings.
It's fucking amazing.
Yeah. All the old
Gilbert Gottfried is a werewolf.
Katie?
I'm going to recommend Tetris.
Wow.
Which music? One, two, or three?
I don't know, because I always played it on my graphing calculator in high school.
Okay.
Wow.
Because he stole my Dragon Age one, so I was like, what other... I played so much Tetris.
Don't you like Civ 5?
I do like Civ 5. A lot. But I'm gonna go with Tetris. I played so much Tetris, and then Whitey Matt, I got into a fight with him, because I told him that I was better than him at Tetris. He was like, no, I'm sure I am, and I'm better than him at Tetris.
Whitey Matt has a former boyfriend of hers, by the way.
Women tend to be better at Tetris-style puzzle games than men.
Huh? Do
they? It's proven with a ridiculous amount of research. Like, how people get grants for this shit, I don't know.
Yeah, right.
But it's just something with how our brains work, that women, because of the way we evolved or whatever, like, they're better at that kind of a thing. Because
they're good at cleaning and organizing.
in general, men are good
at fitting those long slot pieces into that little slot.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Really good at that.
Or it's a really small one. No, in general, men are better at picking one single task and focusing on it, and women are better at multitasking. Because, you know, yes, it's sexist now, but in reality, women tend to take care of the household, whatever. But women tend to be better at multitasking, and things like Tetris require you to think of 30 different things at a time. Even though there's only the one bit coming on, there's a lot of pre-planning and a bit of trying to deal with it. I don't know. It's just...
But that and Columns, I play the crap out of those games.
Columns, yeah.
All the time. So that's what I'm changing. I do enjoy Civ 5, though. That's a really good game. But we've talked about Civ 5 a lot on this.
That's true. That's also why I crossed off Persona, because I recommended it previously.
There you go.
Yep.
Dave's just all about slipping in extra ones there. All right, so my final recommendation, and this one's going to probably draw some ire. I'm going to say Call of Duty, not full stop. I'm not going to full stop on it. But Modern Warfare 2, for its time, was probably the greatest first-person shooter that had come out to that period.
Had Half-Life 2 come out yet? I'll need somebody to check Google.
Yeah.
Oh, then you're wrong.
No, Modern Warfare 2 was better.
Whoa. I was really tempted in saying Half-Life for one of my games. I did not. I'm glad I didn't, because...
Apparently Nathan loves it.
I didn't know it was that easy to get him off the podcast.
The Half-Life games
Jeff
are...
the door.
That's not too crazy there.
But Modern Warfare 2, I love. I enjoy the Call of Duty games in general. I think the series has its ups and its downs. The Black Ops ones, I forget which... The two game companies that switch off. The one that makes the Black Ops games in general, I think, are poor. And so I wait until the next one in the cycle comes out, like Modern Warfare 2, Modern Warfare 3.
So Half-Life was November 2005. I'm just going to check in.
Modern Warfare 2 was definitely after that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Significantly, in fact.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
But anyway.
And while I'm not going to storm out like Nate did, I am going to start ignoring your opinion.
I love Modern Warfare 2. And I enjoy the Call of Duty games in general. I've heard mixed reviews about Ghosts and haven't tried it yet. But I enjoy the Modern Warfare games. I think the single player is actually pretty poor. Like, I'll play through it. Yeah,
well, those games
whatever.
Don't focus on
the But the games don't
anymore.
Focus on that. So, but the multiplayer aspect I really enjoy. And then I'm going to say, just lumping in a bunch of old school games, Privateer, which was of the Wing Commander series by far the best. I enjoyed the others, but Privateer was amazing. I'm going to say Space Quest all the way through, King's Quest all the way through, and Police Quest all the way through.
No, well, Legions of Larry?
Legions of Larry. I don't think Legions of Larry was as good. It was hilarious. Not as good as the other three.
Legions of Larry 6 Love for Sale, it's actually legitimately good.
I definitely did not play
adventure.
All of the Legions of Larry.
They kind of faded out, especially when they stopped dropping the conventional numbering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, I enjoyed the crap out of those. I remember those games were better, frankly, without the internet. They'd probably be too no fun now. But I remember, like, in Police Quest 2, it took me probably 2 weeks to figure out that the keyword was fucking administer breathalyzer. You couldn't give a breathalyzer. You couldn't breathalyze a person. You couldn't test. You couldn't give sobriety test. You had to administer breathalyzer because that happened to be how they coded it. And God forbid you have any kind of pseudonym for
In
that.
Space Quest, I think it's three. There's like a robot bounty hunter that comes there off you and you kill him with a pulley. Yes. I couldn't figure out how to get that fucking pulley to move. Like I need to hit him with this thing and I don't know what text I'm supposed to input to make this pulley move.
Yeah, and those games were great because of that. They probably wouldn't work in today's, like, oh, I'll just look that up on the internet because it took me 30 seconds to figure
out. Did you ever play the Kyrandia games? Yes. There's three of them. Those are
only
super
one of them.
Solid.
I don't remember which one I played, but yes, one. Probably
How would you figure out what verbiage to use? Like,
well,
clues?
One of the great things in the book was in the back, they would have a list of verbs. These are the verbs the game knows about. And one of them is probably what you need in your current situation. Have fun with that. And it would be like four or five pages, just verb.
Okay.
And unfortunately, so they recognized some of those terms, but they weren't always useful, too. There would be words that never got used in the game other than for them to make fun of you for using
them. Was a glitch in one of the Leisure Suit Larry games where, well, it wasn't really a glitch so much as a poor decision. There was an item that was an actual bag, and then somebody... They used bag in the game, recognized bag as a verb because you would bag something. And so there's a puzzle where you can fuck the game up and permanently like lose an item by using bag incorrectly. So there's one puzzle you have to be super careful.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like, and I mean, they have all three kinds. Police Quest was very like detective. Space Quest was hilarious. Like, everything about Space Quest was just... Every time you died, the game mocked you in a new and interesting way. It would be things like, quick, sir, hide! And he would just cover his eyes and stand in the middle of the room. Like, it was amazing stuff. And then King's Quest was much more serious, and it was the classic fantasy, and save the maiden and slay the dragons, and... Yes?
I just remembered a game that I absolutely loved and then forgot about, because it doesn't...
Is it Tetris 2?
No. The Seventh Guest?
Oh, yeah. I remember that one.
I really love that game, and I wanted to come out with a sequel, and it never did.
The Eighth Guest.
Well, no, I think they did. But it was Seventh Guest, and it wasn't there, like, 11th Hour?
Yeah. Was 11th Hour a sequel?
I think there is. There are sequels that are similar to that vein, though. I mean, that'd be the
same style. I don't know if it's a direct sequel, but it's the same thing.
I think they came out with a sequel.
Yeah, I'd have to double-check.
Well, because it wasn't called, like, Eighth Guest or, like, Seventh Guest 2. I think it was called something like 11th Hour or something like that.
I'll have to buy it.
Just look it up on a wiki.
That sounds like work.
Anyway, I have succeeded because I managed to make one person rage quit, even temporarily, the podcast with one of my recommendations. So,
and you've just made like 13 recommendations over the last 2 minutes.
I'm okay with that.
You're also, up. I'd already recommended point and click adventure games. So you shoving in three entire series.
Those three series are amazing, and you didn't mention them.
Okay. Yeah. All right, I'm going to jump to mine. Mine is a little kind of touching into the music I love. And it also goes into great racing games, and that is Twisted Metal.
I was hoping you were going to say Rock and Roll Racing.
Rock and Roll Racing fits up there because that game is fucking awesome, too.
I played that game so many damn hours.
Crazy. I wish I had that on the... I wish I had that on my Super Nintendo still. But Twisted Metal 1, 2... Twisted Metal 2 being pretty much the quintessential Twisted Metal out of all of the series. Yeah. Until...
And Black.
9-4, or... 343 Studios, whoever was in charge of NFL Game Day, took over the Twisted Metal series. And that was for 3 and 4, and that was not very good.
No.
Twisted Metal Black, which is the return of the same crew.
Yeah.
Amazing game. And the newest version that came out a couple years ago for the PS3. That's actually really good, too.
That's the one with, like, the ice cream truck, and you shoot rockets, and okay.
Well, you turn into a robot.
Yes.
And Twisted Metal Head-On, which is the same original crew as Twisted Metal 1 and 2. Very good game, too.
The Vigilante 8 games are very similar, and those are good. Those are more like...
Not as good, but they're more realistic. Good, but... Realistic in the physics. And that was the problem with
but
Twisted
they're goofy
over-the-top
70s, like...
I did like that series. I really enjoyed Sid Byrne.
Did you ever play Critical Depth?
Yes, I did.
Because that was during the horrible 3 and 4 Twisted Metal. The original team made a sub-combat game... Where you fought underwater Critical Depth.
The only problem with Critical Depth was it moved like a submarine.
Yeah, it was very accurate. It was much more slow paced.
It was a good game, but just chug it away. Critical Depth was pretty decent. Same thing with the it's a racing game too. Similar style. I think it's by the original team. They involved taking tourists around.
Crazy Taxi?
No, it wasn't Crazy Taxi. Rogue Trip. Yes, that's it. That is another kind of fun game from that same crew. Car combat games, great. Yeah. I'm happy to see that Twisted Metal at least did decently when it came out last time. I'm hoping that they continue on.
Even if we had to ban the helicopter in play here.
Yeah, the helicopter was not as fun here. But
it was awesome. Just when everybody, when you had like four people playing the fucking helicopter.
It was great in co-op.
Yes.
Good times.
But yeah, many hours. And I also have to recommend quickly Vandal Hearts.
Yes.
Great, great game. It was one of the first games where I actually had a roommate actually wake me up and say, hey, you got to come play this because I want to watch. It was a great strategy game. It's kind of similar to Final Fantasy Tactics, except for each time that you went onto the board, you had a certain strategy to go about completing that board and getting the hidden secrets.
Well, because for better or for worse, Vandal Hearts had a finite number of missions. There was exactly X missions. Yep. Each was set, scripted a specific way. So there was no grinding for experience. There was no random events. It was all the exact same mission over and over and over again.
You could grind for experience in the sense where you had to have... The only time you got experience is when your characters did something.
Right.
Like if they healed somebody
were finite enemies, so there was an exact specific amount. The only place that you could really cheat it, there was one mission where you could stand your healers on the place where they regenerated their health. And if you, this one quest, the last enemy wasn't close enough those to go hostile. So you could stand there forever and just heal your guys over and over again to get everybody up to max level.
Yeah.
But apart from that, it was very finite. For better or for worse. I mean, that was a cool thing.
You get a more controlled story that way.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. The PlayStation, or Xbox, I think, had a remake of the game as well that was pretty solid on the arcade.
Vandal Hearts 2 had an interesting thing. I don't think I've seen in any other one of those, like, the grid combat games, where instead of just taking turns or whatever, each action phase, you and the opponent would both activate one thing. And you said what your guy was going to do, and then both things happened simultaneously. So if you went to go attack something and it was the thing that was active, it would also be moving, so you'd have to kind of outguess the enemy.
Diplomacy style, everyone is...
Yes.
Oh, by the way, John says, haha.
I'm beating John. Him and I might ally at this point because there's other fish to fry. He could not successfully kill him, so I pushed him back, and now he's turned on somebody else.
Oh, yeah. He was just saying that you, him, and Travis had a deal, and he didn't trust you.
He attacked Travis, yeah.
Well, he thought you guys were going to attack him, so.
We weren't going to attack him yet. We were going to use him for a few years.
Yeah.
But he turned on Travis, and so Travis is in trouble. So right now I have to decide whether to help Travis or not.
Hey, Travis showed weakness, not talents. Travis, by the time you hear this, it'll be too late, so.
Travis, I was basically like, Travis, you should go punch that bear in the head. And then Travis would go punch the bear in the head, and the bear eats Travis, and I'm like, well, that plan failed.
Did it fail, really?
I mean, I'm still here.
If you're named Travis, and you're playing diplomacy against Nathan, and you're listening to him, you've already lost the game.
True. Everything I gave, I was legitimately, I haven't lied to anybody yet in this game, is that what it boils down to. I haven't lied to anybody yet.
Yeah.
Except for that lie.
Yeah.
Except for the words you used.
Brian,
you're at a game. So before I mention my last game, I'm surprised Jeff's last, but I can't imagine no one's mentioned the Zelda game. No one's mentioned like a Dragon Warrior game.
Zelda.
Zelda games are good, but they're all samey, and they're not like these breakout, like fantastical things.
They just have this like stable thing about them, though.
Yeah. They're fun. I play them, but...
I mean, I wasn't going to recommend it. I was amazed.
What I liked most about Zelda was the cartoon, though, and I didn't think that counted.
Excuse me, princess!
If I had to continue on with my games, it would probably go into the Zelda games as well. I try to encompass like the entire generations of
plus there's an element of duh to recommending those. You know what I mean? Yeah.
That's a little bit like I thought about saying something about like Mario, and I was like, we've all heard of Mario.
I didn't think of this as so much as recommendations as like things that meant a lot to us. Like I loved the Mario Kart, and I think Mario Kart would have been Mario fantastic.
But like, there's other things that just stand out more when you think.
But I also like the original Mario Kart. I don't like the new ones where you can like double team and stuff.
Fuck
like
the blue shell. Whoever invented the blue shell.
I love the blue shell.
Mario Kart on the Super Nintendo. That's as far as I'll go. Double Dash was good too.
Double Dash was good.
I'm actually going to go more current now in my last recommendation. I almost want to say every game by Naughty Dog, which is Uncharted games and Last of Us. But I'll just say Last of Us because I still think that's the best game.
I am enjoying the crap out of that right now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so. It's got a lot. I have not played it. I almost bought it, and I realized that it's for sale at used for like $40.
Nice.
I'm like
DLC just came out. I probably didn't get the DLC.
I need to finish that game.
It was it was very highly recommended for a thing, but they said it was very short. So if you're willing to play a very good short DLC, it's okay, but you have to go into the DLC. But no, Last of Us, best game last 10 years.
Did anyone recommend the Elder Scrolls games? I thought I heard that.
Mm-mm. Oh, I
mentioned the leveling up steps.
I mentioned playing Elder Scrolls 1.
They've been tangentially
mentioned. Mentioned Skyrim, but no, it didn't come up. I think that was going to be one of your three, actually.
No Fallout mentioned either, because seriously,
I know, right?
Really
Fallout, Fallout 2, oh my god.
Yeah.
Well, because I had already picked...
Hey,
Fallout New Vegas.
There's a lot
Fallout New Vegas is also very good.
I still like three more, but it's so many good games.
Well, three in New Vegas are...
They're very similar.
They're very, very
New
similar.
Vegas. New Vegas has a lot more to it, and it's a lot more open. Fallout 3, because of that, might have the better plot, because you're kind of railroaded along it.
I think Fallout 3 is a bigger world.
Physically, yes. Event-wise, no. Well, there's more stuff in New Vegas.
Yeah, that's where the fun happens, though. You know, this random nonsense.
I only played New Vegas, so I can't argue.
New Vegas is fun. I just didn't like. I prefer the story in three.
Plus, I love the vault that you investigate, where you find out about the elections that they have.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite little bits of storytelling in a game.
Yeah. So, bonus recommendation follow, because we should... Also, evidently, there's a lot of games.
We could just sit here for an hour agreeing on amazing games.
So, I'm done. That was me. Last of Us.
Well, Last of Us, I have yet to play, but I really want to play.
Nathan has yet to play.
Spoiler, if you get to literally the second fight in the game, and it's not fun and awful, and you sit there for an hour trying to beat this one fucking room, turns out it's really good after that, so don't give up, is what I've been told.
And I've, like I said,
I've been told that's the big roadblock. That's the hardest part of the entire fucking game that for some reason they put right at the beginning. But try to get past that.
Just that they did that just for you.
Apparently.
Yeah, I've heard the same problem, but different rooms for different people. Like everyone's got this room that just...
No, Jeremy and Brian agreed that the room I'm talking about is the room.
The funny thing is, but Jeremy got by, so it can't be that hard.
Yeah, I got by the first playthrough.
Yeah, I mean, That's just my counterpoint. If Jeremy could do it, is it?
I'd like to point out, I got through it, and I didn't fire my gun once.
Well, yeah, you never fire your gun.
Oh, no.
It's a terrible
idea.
They
give you the gun in that
room. Fine on people.
The gun makes it easier.
These are clickers.
Oh, well, yeah, I know.
Okay. Anyway.
I've beaten the game, too. I really like it, so I agree. But I guess my last recommendation isn't really a recommendation, because most people are not going to like the game. Oh. Well, it's
controversy.
Not even. It's a good game in its own right, but it is very dated, and a lot of people have very strong opinions on it one way or another. I really
Pac-Man?
Yes.
Archon for the NES.
My mom really likes Pac-Man.
I prefer with the
white goblin the balls.
Miss Pac-Man is better.
Ghosts and Goblins?
No,
fuck Ghouls and Ghosts.
That game.
That one too.
Fucking.
You beat the game. Beat it a second time, or else you didn't really beat it.
when they came out with the little things that you attached to the TV, and it was just like the Pac-Man game or the whatever game, my mom sat there and played it for like 8 hours straight.
Yeah,
just nice. Like the same thing.
Yeah, couldn't do that much Pac-Man.
Garrus Revenge.
Did you ever play Pac-Man Versus?
Wow,
for the GameCube.
We're just not going to let him get an invitation out.
Pac-Man Versus was great because one person played. You played Pac-Man on the Game Boy Advance plugged into the controller port of the GameCube, and the other three people were the ghosts using the television, and so they had limited field of vision around their ghost, and you as Pac-Man with the controller could see everything, and so they had to like find you and chase you down, and it was fucking amazing. I bought a GameCube just to play Pac-Man Versus.
I mean, it's really neat, but I'm going back to
I'm not going to let you get to your recommendation. Okay. No, go on.
I recommend video games. They're pretty cool. I really like Xenogears. This is a game that right at the point in time when I was starting to really appreciate more from RPG other than, yes, hit attack, make things die.
Yes.
Once again, really well-supported soundtrack. It actually helped heavily by the same person who wrote the music for Chrono Trigger. A very well-thought-out plot. I play it again because the foreshadowing is there from the start. They deliver a lot of the plot twists to you in such a way where you can piece it together and go, that's what was happening? Neat. I didn't expect that. But it's not one of those, like, oh my god, like, not like Final Fantasy IV, where it's like you beat the guy and it's like, oh, P.S., real boss is on the moon?
Yeah.
You know, like, like, huh?
What's the Fight Club thing where there's no way you could guess? Like, you watch it and you're like, oh my god, I could never have guessed this. And then you watch it again and you're like, how did I not guess this?
Yes.
Like, right. Once you know what's there, you see the clues.
Yes, and that's exactly it. With a very long game, with some varied combat mechanics, you know, just generically wonderful setting, and it plays out so well. I still get a little, you know, I still choke up a little bit when I finally get to the end of that game because it feels so rewarding to me. Not to be confused with Xenosaga, which kind of dropped the ball.
I may have to replay that one because I borrowed it from a friend, got partway through, and was like,
Xenogears. It was a PS1 title.
Yep.
It had problems making it to the U.S. because there's a lot of religious controversy in it, and it was one of the first games that actually implied sex.
Whoa!
I know, right? Not even like anything graphic, but there's There was like a scene where the girl wakes up and she's obviously naked and covering herself with a sheet. And it's like, oh no, we can't have that.
What's the games with crazy things you should stop coming, like Planescape? Is that, and people, that's like an RPG people love. That's an old 80, you know, people think it's, that's, the people still mod it and whatnot today, and that's got such a clever twist in it, as well as a crazy story.
Awesome.
I'll check that game out.
Hooray! Yeah,
I really like it.
Very cool.
That's another category. So
I'm sure we're going to get a ton of people talking about the games.
We can do recommendations at the end of the show, because I got more.
Now, should we move on to Zappity Grumbles? Katie, did you want to tell us about cheating against new players?
Well, I don't know that I didn't cheat. You follow the rules.
yeah, that's exactly.
You played a battle box with units. That's,
I didn't know that that was not a thing that you could do. He asked me if I wanted to play a battle box game, and I said sure, and I didn't have any battle. I didn't have Kaya with me, and I didn't have my Ferals with me, because why would I have Ferals with me? And so the...
Well, that was for you.
He does not listen to this podcast.
I'm aware.
For the listeners at home, just without further explanation, what was your battle box game list, Katie?
And so my battle box game was Mosar and two units of stones and a stalker.
But surely you wouldn't take the stone UA, because having stealth unit in battle box game would be OP, right?
That would be OP.
Against Convergence battle box, the Cyprian monitor, I think. Or
hey,
cipher.
That was heavy
it's
armor.
It's a cipher, yeah.
And
here's
what's
the thing. I didn't realize that no units was not allowed. I didn't realize that he wasn't very familiar with his models, which I guess I should have realized.
If he's like, playing a battle box game, spoiler alert.
If he's playing a battle box game, because I was just like, I guess I'll just take these things and I have 5 points. Because he was like, I have 11 points. And I was like, okay, so I need to make 11 points.
So, but at least you didn't cheat savagely by taking a caster with an armor debuff.
Well, and more importantly, she had a caster that could put up. She could put up a pillar of salt per enemy model.
She could put up more than one per enemy model.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like,
did you win?
I did win, barely though, because the stalker almost couldn't get through his armor. Anyway, I was so mean, and I feel real bad about it.
Hey, but you got a gift for it.
So
I got a gift for it.
Hey, it was a game, and it was in her birthday month.
Welcome to Madison. Now, if you could just put your teeth on this curb really quickly.
That would be great. I get rewarded for doing this to you.
Did you tell him after you face-stomped him that it was for a present?
Well, he knew that because he listens to the podcast. And then, well, I was just not very sportsmanlike, I suppose. But I didn't realize it until it was too late. Like, I just wasn't thinking about it.
Sometimes you're a dick and you don't realize it until you're already halfway into being like, it's too late now.
I'm already like, well, because the other casters I had with me are Cromac, which would be ridiculous in that kind of format, and Kruger, which I thought would be ridiculous in that kind of format. And so I picked Mosar, not thinking about how OP the columns were, because I was like, he's super squishy. And so, like Kaya. Kaya's super squishy. That must be why she's in the battle box.
They also don't give her stones.
She's also terrible.
She's not terrible.
She's not terrible.
No,
Pekai is fairly weak, in my opinion. She has her shtick.
She has a limited application.
She has a good shtick, but overall...
She's not Mark 1 Pekai.
No.
Mark 1 Kaya was actually
if
really
she, if she could spirit
good.
Door and then attack, she would be 100% legit.
Yeah. Right. Well, she can... Kaya too can.
Yes. I'm assuming we're doing awful on time, so if we should really limit it.
Somebody give me a timer for Zappity Grumble that I'm going to misread.
No, I was going to do Zappity Grumble.
Well, yeah, but give him the timer.
I need a timer so that I
have Twitter.
We should be fine for Zappity Grumble. We should not always do recommendations.
It goes better with a timer.
We always want a timer for that. Was thing. We want a timer. I'll get a timer going.
Give me a 20-minute timer. I'll start.
Not 20. 15.
15? All right, 15. Let's do this.
You can't read one of them, though.
Why not?
It's fine.
Okay,
I haven't put my clock timer.
All right, well, this will be 15 minutes plus.
Wait. So while
he's getting his timer ready, I'm going to point out that RoboCop was fucking awful. I don't understand why the city was so nice. Apparently there was no crime, so why did they need a RoboCop? Because that was the nicest looking city I've ever seen in my life.
It
wasn't even dirty. Yeah, that was Detroit, and it looked like freaking Beverly Hills, like in Clueless. It didn't make any goddamn sense. So only 50 caliber bullets can hurt him, apparently. So the bad guys, this whole mob of people, are shooting 50 caliber bullets out of Uzi submachine guns. I don't know if you know how 50 caliber bullets work, but you don't shoot like 20 of them a second out of a fucking Uzi that you hold in your hands if you want your arms to not be shattered into jelly from the recoil. Bad guy didn't do anything wrong. Not really a bad guy. So like they program him and they're like, oh, now he's got programs and stuff. And then, oh no, he's undoing the programming. How? Gonna explain it? Apparently not. Fuck you, movie. All right.
It would have made an amazing prequel. All
right. So 15 minutes. All right.
And go. Crippled System, how many presents would be too many presents for Katie's birthday?
Are you doing Twitter?
There's not. That's not true. That's not.
That was asked by Travis.
There is no number.
There's. You send me lots of presents. I'll tell you if they're too many.
Okay. So Travis, send us lots of presents.
Zappy. Grumble.
What made you pick your favorite factions, and what about them keeps you being from distracted by others? Pointy ears kill all humans.
That's your answer.
No, that's my answer. No one else has a quick.
They're really pretty, and there's lots to learn about Circle. Plus, if you only play like once a year, you don't get bored.
That's true.
I like the game Kill All Humans.
Okay.
Spender.
Yes.
The most expensive thing I own is this watch. It costs more than my car. Well, not anymore. My car died. Not my new car. But previously, until I had to buy a brand new car, this was the most expensive thing I own because I'm obsessed with clockwork. So, you know, clockwork.
Clockwork.
We should take a picture.
Crazy monsters that grow back limbs.
Mm. Oh. Brian doesn't know why he plays this faction.
I don't.
Zappity?
Caw.
Caw.
What do Brian and Andy do for a living? We've never heard what they do at work.
Andy assembles models.
I was going to say, we've talked about that, I thought.
We've talked about that, yeah. He completely assembles models. And,
not what he's supposed to do.
And Brian watches keynote addresses.
To be perfectly honest, Brian does a lot of work at work.
I do stuff with things.
Brian doesn't like it when I interrupt my assembly to talk to him, because I'm interrupting something he's doing.
Because you just, like, assume that Brian's not working just like you're not working, so you just interrupt him with stuff.
Yeah.
I'm usually on like, conference calls for various things. I'm trying to, like, on my way to a meeting or something.
All right.
Shenanigans. So I do stuff that involves meetings with people.
Exciting.
Yes. Sounds like fun.
To be perfectly honest, I can tell you what I do at work, what technically I'm supposed to do. I provision website hosting for our business customers.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry.
Zappity.
Grumble. Better movie, I, Frankenstein or RoboCop 2014?
I, Frankenstein.
I haven't even seen it, but I know I, Frankenstein.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Best Hearst Arts mold for War Machine Terrain?
Oh, that's for Brian.
Well, the whole 54 series is, 50 series is like Fieldstone, so you can make lots of cool walls or buildings. There's a cool temple, the clock tower one I have is pretty sweet. I don't know the number of it. And there's also like a cool church.
Church you made is amazing.
Yeah, the church mold. Those
but
all
the
work
50
well.
Series in general, is that the bricks? Because you do a lot with that
yeah,
brick
the field
stuff.
Yeah, Fieldstone is like 52, 53. There's like four different molds that use Fieldstone. And I use those for the walls and various buildings and stuff. Yeah, that's what I like.
And it looks good.
All right. Just check out what molds they have and what you think would look good for your field. I mean, that's... Their website's got a lot of tough stuff on it.
Yeah. Those walls that you make are a half inch across. If there's a mold that's 3/4 inch, then maybe you should get that, because then it would be the legal size.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, our walls are a little narrower than what you see most places.
Technically at least for the spell walls.
Yeah.
They're fine for everything else.
Zappity.
Gumball.
Prize support for a small tournament. 6 to 8 players, assume no store support.
$5 a person, you can order a coin kit, you're still covered.
That was easy.
Coin kit's $35 plus shipping.
Done.
Okay.
Grapple. Sometimes it doesn't even cost shipping because it goes right through the distributor.
Grumbles and zaps. Has anyone recommended Babylon 5 yet?
Yes.
Yeah, I think we have actually.
Yeah. I
like the first 4 seasons or something like that, and then you mentioned 5th season. Like, no.
The first season is very mediocre, mainstream, crappy sci-fi.
It's
like,
pretty
rough. It's rough. It's not garbage, but it's mediocre, back of the pack. The 2nd, 3rd, and 4th seasons are the best 3 seasons of sci-fi you'll ever watch in your life. And then the 5th season is passably decent, better than the first, but still not amazing.
Mm-hmm. All right, Zappity.
Grumble.
Have you ever considered getting into Malifaux? I kind of am.
I've had a warband, and the rules at the time that I got into the game were so convoluted and OP. And I've heard so many horrible stories about tournament play. I only really have room for one miniature game at this time. It would be interesting, but I
played it a little bit too. I actually lose interest if there's only like 5 miles on per side. I really need like an army into my table. I need at least 30 models, 20 models.
I heard version 2 is good. Like, supposedly a lot of people gave up after the first one, and the rewrite's supposed to be really good.
By the second or third book, people got pretty upset, and I know they redid it recently, and people were happy again.
Yeah,
I'm with you, Andy. I can't. I have a game. I don't have room for a second game.
If we have enough of us that would get into it, that I could see us doing something like that. But I can't see that in our group.
If I'm not playing War Machine, I'm only be playing board games. It's hard. Yeah. I still don't have enough time for board games. I mean, I want more days in the week for board games.
Yeah.
True.
I mean, if you're going to get into a second minis game, I guess something like Malifaux, where you only have to buy a half dozen models, is the best kind to do. It's kind of like, it's not really a minis game, but how I have a Blood Bowl team because I spent $20 and now I never have to spend anything on Blood Bowl again. I mean, I guess you could buy one warband for Malifaux.
It's like, and your factions expand, you have different leaders, so you want this model with this guy. So suddenly it's a trap.
It's not a bad trap. But if you can hardcore stop, like if you could buy one group and say, if people really want to play Malifaux, I have these six models, I can play a game. Like if you could treat it like a one and done, sure, but be careful because you don't have enough days in the week to play two full minis games.
Yeah, we don't, definitely.
We certainly don't know.
Zappity.
Gumball.
9 minutes, 20
Mike seconds. The Lurker wants to know, how do I become Nathan's bestie?
Pie?
I thought you just said hi. You just have to say hi to Nathan. He's your bestie.
I'll be everyone's bestie. I love everybody.
That's just not true.
I love everybody. I hate everything.
Fair enough.
So the difference is if he considers you an object or a person.
Direct a movie. I'll watch it, and I'll let you know if you can be my bestie.
I hope this fan sends in a mini movie, because that would be amazing.
That would be amazing. We would post that.
We would post that.
I will stand by my answer. If he directs a movie, I will watch it and tell him if he can be my bestie.
All right, so there's your answer, Mike.
Zappity.
Gumball.
What do you think are alternative options to typical Harvey Fiora 2 for Protectorate of Menoth in a two-list format?
Zappity.
Grumble.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have a Menoth player at the table, unfortunately.
Well, Sevi, you want Sevi in there. And Sevi Krios.
Krios 1
is still legit. Power drop works.
And Sevi 1 Krios, especially once their new junior comes out. Sevi 1's going to be off the chain, I think.
Yeah. He's already good against Krios.
He's already good, but when that guy comes out, it'll be even better.
Yeah, so. I think those are probably their four best casters.
Yeah,
I would agree. All right, so that's the tweets. Do you have the Facebooks? Or should I pull it up?
Brian's got it.
He does.
So does Andy. Oh, Andy's got Brian's just dicking around.
I was in the twit.
Oh,
her.
Okay.
Yours.
He tweets. All right, quickly. 7 minutes, 50 seconds.
Yep. BL, right? What's the most thematic game in your opinion? Thematic board game, in your opinion?
War of the Ring.
StarCraft, the board game.
Yeah, that's also very...
Yeah.
Those are both amazing.
But, I mean, then rounded out, Fortune and Glory. Those are the three that I think of as thematic.
Yeah.
Boss Monster. The Arkham Horror. Malcolm Reynolds one is thematic.
Oh, God, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, Firefly.
Firefly.
Battlestar Galactica.
So yes. We've ruined the question. There are many good ones.
Yeah, we have a good collection, yeah. Everything we mentioned is really great.
Those are very thematic.
Yeah. Side quick question on there is, have any of you played Battlefleet Gothic, and what do you think of it?
Never heard of it.
I like Battlefleet Gothic. I love the idea of it. The problem is, though, is the games are like 6 to 8 hours long. Otherwise, it falls into the GW specialist games, and basically all the GW specialist games are really good.
But they'll never be supported
by GW. Supported by GW because it doesn't... It's not an influx of money. It doesn't continually make the money.
Right.
So anyway, Zappity.
Grumble.
Since Nathan was nice enough to push Booth in the end...
Booth at the end.
That was me! Everyone keeps giving Nathan credit for that, you sons of bitches!
And in turn, ruining me since there are only 10 episodes and that they were amazing. Is there anything else that he can suggest to watch that then ends earlier than it should?
Firefly.
No.
Brian, this is your question.
No, I would recommend one in there. Can I throw it in quick?
Throw it in there. I can't think of the name of the show I want to recommend either. It's called...
Megas XLR. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
There's another Hulu show that just came out. It has two guys. I can't think of the name of it.
Tell me a little bit about it, maybe I
it's
know.
Like a, well, it's like a guy sees a car accident, picks up a cell phone. Suddenly he picks up a phone and is like, we have your wife. And it's got his buddy is a goofy. You know the guy?
Yes, the wrong man's.
The wrong man's. There you go.
Wrong man's with an S at the end.
It's one full season. It's hilarious. Katie looks like a punk. Her hair was all.
The other one I was going to suggest is Jericho.
Yeah. Well, I was just following through on like Hulu shows. Yeah. So the wrong man's is pretty funny.
And if you haven't watched Firefly and you want to be disappointed in a show, anyway,
everyone's really, watched Firefly.
Go see
Firefly. Actually, the last episode that aired, I mean, the last episode kind of ends.
They knew it's for not the last a bad episode ending point. That it was ending. It's not a terrible ending point, but it's one of those shows where, oh my god, this could have been great for a decade.
Yeah, right. Yes.
Like, if it were a meal, the meal's not quite.
But
big
from Jericho, the way he asked his question, I think he was he was being masochistic and looking for a show that got canceled like in the middle of a run, and so you never get to find out what happens,
and
it drives you insane.
I don't think the Booth was canceled. It's just one of those shows where they put a season on, and they wait a while, they do a season. It's kind of the Canadian UK thing, or it's not really.
My point is, it sounded like he wanted to watch something and be disappointed when there wasn't more.
Hulu so, has so many good. Hulu does that too a lot. Go through Hulu's UK stuff. You're going to find a bunch of those kind of. Like
I really
that.
Like the show with the vicar. That show's funny too. I forget the name of it, but it's that, he's a new vicar in town. No. It's a comedy.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so Zabby.
Grumble.
Good answers to Terminus with Mercs. Anything with undead.
Yeah, Alexia in there. Just if you can just a huge shooting list, like Ashlyn or something with Anastasia, so you can get a second turn, so you can just kill enough of his shit to get through tough.
Can Durgan just end him with Durgan Earthbreaker?
No. Mm. Maybe.
Maybe with Earthbreaker, yeah. He's a large enough target.
Deliver a tuned-up Rolik Jack to him, you can break through his armor.
Yeah.
The problem is, though, is dealing with him after he's sucked up a bunch of souls, or if he's got a bunch of guys...
Because then there's no souls.
If he's got a bunch of guys around him, they can soak up shots from him. That's the issue.
A list without a lot of souls that he can grab, and or something that has a tuned-up, red-lined Rolik Jack.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
3 minutes, 38 seconds.
Oh, okay, geez, zoom.
Sexiest Warlock?
Lilith 2.
All right, done. Zappity.
Combo.
Good Jacks to take with Harkovich that aren't Conquest and Black Ivan.
Why are you taking Harkovich? He's awful.
He's awesome. But
also Behemoth?
Yeah. Zappity.
Combo.
Why the hell do people think the spoiled Trollblood thing is a warlock instead of just a beast? The Spink thing they're talking
they think
about
it's
is
a warlock?
Giant hand. That's not a warlock.
I've heard people saying that, but I disagree.
Because they saw a hand?
There's this fantastical movement where people think it's just some giant mutated Doomshaper.
Yes, that's what I've heard is Doomshaper 3.
You know what what somebody said out of nowhere that actually it does look like? It looks like one of Brian's fists.
Yeah,
but they did. Will did Schick did say that it was a Trollblood.
He did
model.
Say it was Trollblood. Oh, that's
and
a shame.
The armor
it sure
in the
like...
back has the same kind of design as the Battle Wagon has.
Gotcha.
So
it's just a giant arm that's going to walk around the field.
So there's no like they just pulled out of their hats like yeah, it's probably Doomshaper. Like there's no support for that.
Yeah, pretty much.
No, I honestly think it may be another Trollblood Gargantuan.
I don't think it is.
It's not
a rapid prototype. I think they're right that it's.
Are you sure
size.
It's a rapid prototype?
Yes.
He said it was a prototype.
Was
he didn't call
it
a rapid. Yeah,
so,
he called it RP.
RP, sorry.
Yeah, he called it RP in the tweet.
Yeah.
Oh, he did? Okay. Yeah. Well, then it is something else then. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Jaffy.
Grumble. Manathjon is trying to get us to support him.
That's nice. Awesome. On.
Good for you.
We love you, Manathjon.
We love you. Krakens, what are they good for?
Killing me.
Killing shit.
Epic Scar.
Yeah, eat Scar.
So Zabity, Crumble. Kurt has another letter for us.
Send it to Katie on the forums and we'll make her read it.
I received the last one, I'll get it to Katie.
Sure, that works. Katie's definitely the one that should read it though.
Can I write a response after I read it?
Yes.
Okay.
Sure. Oh, but, are we gonna have you read it live? Again, like we did last time, with no pre-reading?
No, I would prefer to pre-read it, and then I can pre-read a sentence, or read a sentence, and then give my response.
All right.
He had time to dictate it.
150, we gotta hurry.
What do you think of Mantic announcing yet another Dreadball Kickstarter? Dreadball, whatever.
We don't play Dreadball. Everyone up in Minnesota loves it.
Yeah, I got a copy, but I haven't played it.
It's supposed to be really fun.
Zabity.
Grumble.
Did any of you play Shoot Many Robots?
Yes.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. It's actually surprisingly fun. It's not like a deep, meaningful game. You shoot lots of robots with a nice redneck style humor.
Come there on. You go.
All right.
Yeah, awesome.
1 minute, 20 seconds.
70, Grumble. When making PB&J, do you use the pre-made jars or do you use separate spreads?
Oh,
why would you ever
never
use
the pre-made.
Do those even still exist?
Yes. Yeah, that's horrible.
Never the pre-made. More peanut butter than jelly.
No, more jelly
also,
than peanut butter.
Creamy peanut butter.
Yes.
Chunky peanut butter is never the correct choice ever.
Yeah, that's
correct.
Chunky is like eating ass.
Yes. I like eating ass more than I like eating chunky peanut butter.
What's happening?
Grumble.
Can I send you a link to my argument on why a model shouldn't be able to leap under E. Denny's feet?
Sure, have fun.
No.
Well, guess what?
I just realized who it was from.
Yeah.
Great. What is the worst movie you've ever seen?
Well... They can advance. If you can legally advance, you can legally charge. If you can legally charge, you can legally jump. Deal with it. It's rules. Good fucking gods.
Yeah. Rules as written.
Wait. Yeah. Rules?
God. Yeah. What?
33 seconds.
30 seconds.
What is the best worst movie you ever seen?
Best worst?
Ooh.
I didn't actually see it, but I hear Ninja Assassin or whatever.
Oh, Ninja Assassin's amazing.
I'm agreeing with Katie. Ninja Assassin's amazing.
Yeah. I don't have time.
Too much time. It's happening, Grumble. Which one do you think pressure. Of Striker 3? Too good, not good enough? Not good, poseable.
Good.
Zabity Grumble. Yeah. Sci-fi fantasy book you would recommend to a friend?
I can't handle it.
Dune.
God. No. The book from the one author with the things.
Oh, yeah, that one. He's really good.
I can't think of the name of it.
I can't think
it's
of it.
It's got the characters and the stuff, and it's in space. It's really good.
Dune.
Zappity.
Dune is a good choice.
We'll go with Dune for now.
And we're out of time.
Time is up.
The Heir to the Empire trilogy.
We still have a time left.
Heir to the Empire. Good.
Let me look at the time what we have. We could probably... let's finish it.
We're trying to put a time on our thing so we don't go on forever. That's the whole point of our thing.
That's the whole point.
So
the rest of you resubmit next week. And recommendations?
Quick, well, hold on. Okay. I'm going to read one here because he deserves it. So.
Okay.
Who's going to hang out with me at Adepticon? This is Charles Foster III.
Dude, Charles, I will give you so many hugs. We're going to hang out so much. It's going to be awesome. You, me, Michael Plummer.
I'm going to say I'm going to hang out with you and then cancel at the last minute.
Plus, he says he will forgive Jeremy for ducking my wedding like a true Damaris if he has a beer with him.
Can it be a Jack and Coke?
A beer. He says specifically a beer.
All right, because I will. You know what? I deserve to have to drink a beer for having skipped his wedding, so I will do that. But I would prefer it to be a Jack and Coke.
I think you're supposed to give him the beer.
So I apologize for everybody else who we couldn't fit in Zappity Grumble questions, but we'll try to.
He didn't mention me. I don't know if that's because he's already forgiven me or because I cannot be forgiven.
I think you cannot be forgiven.
It's Andy's fault I wasn't there.
No, I went.
I could. Yeah, I know you went. If you'd waited four more hours, I could have went too.
I couldn't wait four more hours.
Well, how dare you? Why would we wait 4 hours?
Because then I could have went.
Anyway,
because then
my
I would have been there at midnight with no place to stay.
Oh, okay, you would have
my recommendation is going to be The Tin Man. It's got Zooey Deschanel. It's an old sci-fi movie that's been around for a while. But I've watched it several times, and it's always enjoyable. It's not great. It's not going to blow you out of the water.
It's good, though. It is good.
But it is a nice, like, I don't Zooey have anything
Deschanel.
To
plus
do.
Yes. Zooey Deschanel. Yeah. My favorite of the Deschanels. Yes, Andy.
Andy. He recommends Zooey Deschanel.
Andy will be in this bunk.
She looks goofy without bangs, if you Google her without bangs.
Yeah.
It was like a big uproar a few months back.
And
go!
We're going to go the other direction, because I was going to recommend that.
Zooey Deschanel?
No.
I recommend that. Yeah, all the time.
We all recommend Zooey Deschanel.
Minute 40.
So someone else recommend.
Go. Andy, you're making squawky noises. What are you recommending?
I've already recommended like a billion video games, so I'm done with
that. We all did.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, I'm going to recommend you not see RoboCop. So I don't know if I mentioned this yet or not, but RoboCop's fucking awful. And if you talk to somebody and they're like, I liked RoboCop, they're a fucking liar or they're a fucking pod person because no human being could enjoy that pile of shit movie.
Start Nathan Rant now.
I already did. Like, seriously, how? The bad guy didn't do anything wrong.
No.
Like he's
bad
fine.
Guy said.
He's fine. And then RoboCop spoilers. Solves a crime. Yeah, spoiler. Don't see the spoilers. You're welcome because you don't want to see it anyway because it's fucking awful. Like, they're sitting around the table and then the bad guy's henchmen are like, uh-oh, RoboCop's smart. He's going to figure out that you were lying to him about, like, and so fucking what? The bad guy builds a program that legitimately works. He builds this RoboCop that's super good at solving crime. He saves Murphy's life. He reunites him with his family. He does everything he said he will. RoboCop has a psychotic break. This dangerous, psychotically unstable guy in a killing machine, so they sedate him to bring his emotions under control. That's not evil. That's good, safe medical diagnosis. Like, where's the fucking evil? Uh-oh, find out I did nothing wrong, so I better randomly try to murder him. Well, now you're in trouble because you tried to kill RoboCop, and the movie has an excuse to kill you. Fuck, the movie was bad!
Which they make sure to point out, that was my favorite part, is he sit right before he shoots him, he points out why he's going to kill him, is because he tried to murder a cop.
If he just didn't try to kill him, he'd be alive. Also, like, people are like, if you stand on its own and don't look at it as a remake, well, then it shouldn't fucking drop remake things. Like, we're going into it, and Andy points out that the poster has the laws on it.
Oh,
it has
my God.
The directives.
That was a big problem.
It has directive
I have
1, directive
it.
2, directive 3, and then directive 4 with the question mark and everything.
Classified.
The directives aren't in the fucking movie. They're only on the poster so that you'll think that it's tied in. It's just random bullshit on the poster.
This is what I think about this movie. I think it would make an amazing prequel to like a second movie where they set up the corporation
to
be
the
main.
If they redid it, made it shorter and different.
So they made another RoboCop movie.
Because they spend so much time explaining the backstory and how he's still human, and if he just took out like the drug lord and then the movie ended, it would be fine. But then they're like, well, they also have to take out the corporation. If they made that a whole second movie and then explain why it's evil and all of these legal things that are going on, then it would be a really good movie because it would be part of a two-part series. The way that it stands, there's like no climax.
Hey, so Katie, there's a great movie tomorrow that you should watch called RoboCop.
Why tomorrow?
Because that's when you get to watch a great movie called RoboCop.
Yeah. Oh, I can't. I have a midterm. I forgot. I was going to do it today, but then I sat and watched TV.
we were playing so much.
That didn't happen.
I've been waiting all week to watch RoboCop.
I have seriously been waiting all week to watch RoboCop.
I mean, you guys still can watch RoboCop.
No, fuck you. Fuck you.
That was literally the highlight I was looking.
I was looking so forward to it. I went out and bought a copy of it.
Just I didn't watch know. It. I didn't realize.
So
it was
Tuesday
a big
we'll
deal.
Watch it then.
Yeah, well, let's do it Tuesday. Well, we got level 7. We skipped it last.
Well,
week.
Fuck that. We can do that right after this.
No, I got shit to do.
No, I've got to do homework.
Yeah, because you guys.
I spent
TV
all
to watch.
Day watching TV. Like I didn't do any of the
what
stuff.
What did you guys
I
watch on TV?
Do.
You guys didn't watch House of Cards. What did you watch?
We watched Arrow
Man and Archer.
Oh. Arrow, not Archer.
Seriously, they introduce a plot that like they make it so when RoboCop's visor comes down, he's not in control anymore. The machine's in control, so like he thinks he's got control, but he really doesn't. And so if he did something under with the visor down, he'd be haunted because he thought it was his fault. That'll just never fucking come up again. That'll never be in the fucking movie.
Yeah, that was really weird.
So, why did you introduce it as a plot point if you're not going to use it again?
So I'm guessing 2.5 stars out of 5?
Christ! on a scale of 1 to 10, I rate that the ending of Mass Effect 3.
So Nathan,
I prefer RoboCop over Mass Effect 3, Eddie. I'm just saying.
Going by previous rants, that's a B+ in Nathan's book.
Fucking damn it.
No, I see a B. He ranked it slightly more.
RoboCop. Half the title is the word cop. It's an hour and a half into the fucking movie before he's on patrol.
Yeah.
That's... He's a cop.
So are we skipping Tuesday again for level 7 for RoboCop?
I don't really want to do that.
No.
I'd rather play level 7, but yeah, we definitely... I thought we were going to record that because we were going to have that all part of the campaign.
We'll watch RoboCop at some point in time just to get the bad taste of
maybe,
the other
maybe
RoboCop.
Thursday. I think Thursday. Thursday works for me.
Yeah. Sorry, I completely forgot.
Yeah, it's fine.
Well, I know we just spent the entire podcast talking about video games, but I'm actually going to recommend PlayStation Plus if you got a PS3. I have gotten so much mileage out of that, it's not even
the
fun.
The free games are ridiculous lately.
Yeah, like over the last month, they've dropped Bioshock Infinite, which is a really good game on there. They've dropped the newest Devil May Cry, which is really solid.
Oh, I didn't really
Yeah, that. Previously they've had other really solid titles up there. If anything else comes to mind, they just put the new Metro Last Light up, which is actually decent.
I was Final Fantasy
games. It's amazing.
Final Fantasy V went up at one point in time.
It's amazing the games that come out for the PlayStation Plus and then the games with gold for Xbox. Which are just so horrible.
They've been on the
comparison.
$5 rack for 3 years,
yeah.
And they're playing
like,
it free.
Their first game was Halo 3. It was like, oh, and they just released Halo 4. It's like, okay, great. I'm not going to play that game ever.
Yeah, no, I absolutely recommend PlayStation Plus. It is worth the money if you like video games.
Carries over to your PS4 if you would.
Yep.
You try to skip my recommendation, you motherfucker. We go in order.
No, that's
we're going that way today.
Whoa.
So now it's up to you.
Tables are turned.
Wow, you're right.
Why does he dual wield a regular gun and a taser? What the fuck?
I'm recommending an iPad game called Max Axe.
Ooh.
You basically have a guy and you have an axe and you throw it at things.
Why are you saying ooh, Nathan? You can't get that.
I'm
you got a Kindle.
I'm currently the number 2 ranked in the world in the game, just so you know. That's number 1 guy. I played a lot of this game over the weekend. I had the second. It was the
are there app. Two people who have downloaded
it? No, it's the app of the week. It's super huge game
are
right now.
Are you really like number 2 in the
number
world?
Two.
Wow.
Number 2 in the game right now. People so suck it. I've played it too much in the last 2 days.
Number 2 is just the first loser, you know.
Yeah, it is. I was number 1 for a little while. Then I got to beat my score. And I beat it. It's terrible. I'll hopefully have number 1 spot back.
Throw your axes.
I may not go to work
again
tomorrow to reclaim my number 1 spot. It's adorable, too. Max Axe, app of the week on the iPad.
All right. Then.
If you beat my score, I'll come find you.
Andy?
I've already said I've got too many recommendations out, so.
I'm fine back to you then, Jeremy.
Okay, so I'm going to recommend, and this is something that Nathan kind of just threw out there earlier, but I'm going to recommend a specific trilogy in the Star Wars universe, the Heir to the Empire trilogy, starring Grand Admiral Thrawn,
yeah.
And it is the best. It probably is better than the original Star Wars 4, 5, 6. Like, I think it probably is. It's just amazing.
I love Thrawn.
So, if you enjoy...
I love the first, 9 to 10 books that came out. At some
in
point,
general,
they expanded,
yeah.
And they said, instead of... Because they had one author write a couple, one author write a couple, and they said, let's have 45 authors all write a trilogy
in
at the
a single
same time.
Series.
And then I'm like, holy God, I lost control.
Yeah, it went out of control fast. So, but the very... It
The Thrawn books are great.
It's beyond explanation.
Heir to the Empire, Dark Force Rising, Last Command are the three books.
Yes, they are. And if those three books ever get made into a movie, then I'm just going to sit in the theater until my eyes bleed and watch it over and over again. The new movies
are going, because those books were all, they were fine. All that canon is going to cease to exist as soon as the next.
I know, but I really hope they reuse.
We're going to see old Leia and old Luke run around and adventures and old Han. It's going to be like the saddest thing in the world.
Yeah, because the kids is just so much better. Anyway. Go see it. And by the way, this isn't really a spoiler. Mara Jade, best character ever.
Well, Thrawn is the best
character. Mara Jade is legitimately a better character. Like, Thrawn is amazing. He's the best villain of all time.
One of my favorite moments in that book, I'm not going to spoil exactly when it happens, but, like, things go bad for Thrawn at a point in time, and his second command is like, well, should we scramble all the fighters, sir? And Thrawn's like, no, why would I do that? Let's just leave. Yeah. We lost. And the guy's like, oh, well, we always just scramble the fighters.
That's kind of what we do.
Like, there's that joke, like, supervillain list that was on the internet, like, all the things overlord list, and Thrawn apparently read that list. Like, yeah. Thrawn's amazing.
Yeah, he is a fantastic villain.
And all of his plans, like, all the things he does in those books are amazing. And They're so clever. Like, they make sense.
It's not like a lot of books where it's like, oh, well, yeah, if you were a super precog villain, sure, you can make that. No, it's just like he thinks it through, he logically has a plan, he executes the plan flawlessly, and then the one or two times that anything goes wrong, he's just like, well, cut our losses, let's out.
Yeah.
They did such a good job explaining why he wasn't in the movies, because the Emperor didn't like non-humans, so he was at some corner of the galaxy, and he comes back all pissed off.
Yeah.
They did a really good job.
But yeah, so anyway, go read that trilogy, and you will thank me.
Awesome.
Yeah. That is a very good idea.
I'm going to trump Jeremy now.
Okay.
Because I just watched this movie just recently, and it's easily one of my favorite satire films, Undercover Brother.
I'm sorry, Undercover Brothers did not trump the Heir to the Empire trilogy.
Have you seen Undercover Brothers?
It is good. Slightly better than RoboCop.
That movie is it's so good. It's easily one of my favorite satire movies. It's one of the more recent satire movies that's actually done well that you can actually watch again without wanting to throw up.
Yeah, a lot of the recent satires are just not as good. But yeah.
Anything like Meet the Spartans and all those other bad movies. This one actually has a good heart and soul. And on top of that, you should also go watch Black Dynamite. Black Dynamite is an amazing film.
So Andy went from no recommendations to just spewing out random...
Black exploitation movies and a black satire movie.
And then go watch True Detective if you want to see an amazing TV show.
Yes. Throw that in there too. Oh, my God.
All right.
You guys are just off the chain.
And then House of Cards.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. All right. Enough. I can't stop recommending things. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I started watching Sherlock.
So good.
Thank you all for listening. Episode 59 of Crippled Sister.
RoboCop sucked.
Bazinga.